The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Driving!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're in the throes of the bye week. Now, when does the bye week start? Is it this week or next week?
This week.
So this is the bye week. This is your bye week.
Tuesday through Sunday is your bye week. Next week is Panthers week.
Next week you're preparing for the game.
Right. Next week is week 11.
This is your bye week.
Yeah.
And players, I guess.
Look at Paul, those new headphones.
They have quite a few days off. They're giving
them a week. A week.
Yeah.
A full week.
We'll be back next Tuesday.
Yeah.
See you next Tuesday, players.
Yeah, literally.
Does that worry you?
No.
Don't forget they don't play until Monday.
Yeah, that's part of the
reason. Not only the bye week, but then they have a long week the following week.
I get antsy because we had a decent game, and now you're going to have a week off, and it's like,
I believe I made fun of it, Fred. I think they need it, health-wise.
I believe I made fun of Pete Carroll his first year in Seattle for giving the team the whole week off during
the bye.
Well,
even if they were here, like, doing walkthroughs, I'd feel better.
Well, it did seem like there were a lot of cars out there today.
Oh, yeah?
Not all the players are here, because Kenbrell Tompkins tweeted the photo of his Miami, overlooking Miami, and said, jet skiing later? And I'm thinking, oh boy.
I think a lot of guys leave their cars here and get rides to the airport.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Richie Incognito told them to make sure they get here.
trying to pull the fast one, like, oh, if I leave my car in the lot, maybe they'll think, boy, he's here early, late.
It worked on Andy. Just like Costanza.
It did work on me.
It all comes back to Costanza.
Those are funny headphones, Paul.
They do make you look
funny. They make you look like the Tin Man.
Don't wear those on TV.
Okay. I wear them on TV every week.
Oh, that's not a good look.
Who cares?
Paul brought his own headphones. It makes you look bald.
I am bald.
In the radio business, they call them cans. So Paul brought his own cans in
now,
today.
Now, is that spelled with a burp in the middle of it or not?
No, the burp makes it two syllables.
Okay.
Cans.
my headphones were not working properly.
And those are?
Yeah.
So it's not the connection.
No. The connection's still wrong, but the other one, there's something broken inside one of the ears, so it rattles around.
Oh, boy.
So the headphones aren't working, and the connection's not right either. Okay. I have to hold the volume like this.
You don't like these headphones?
No,
these
I need ones
for upstairs for transcribing.
I usually plug into Eric's.
Mine died. Those Bose
on Eric's
hit,
side.
That was the problem.
He's not here.
They were on their last leg.
Oh, all right. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
Good. Is this the bye week or is next week the bye week talk to start off the show? I like it.
855-PATS-500 is the toll free number, and as we said, guys are pretty much off today.
Oh, very much. I said, Kenbrell Tompkins is on the beach in Miami. And he's going jet skiing later. Which
is that not a? That seems like something you shouldn't do.
Safety.
That's pretty safe.
Jet skiing?
Yeah.
What's the matter with jet skiing?
I don't know. You hit a wave, you throw. Oh, forget it.
No, I mean it's pretty safe. So I don't mind him doing that. And they should, you know, as Eric said, they should
what
get some.
What is he talking about?
Some R&R.
We had a jet ski accident.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of the jet ski.
Right. He was trying to save.
He was trying to save somebody.
He was trying to save somebody who was on the jet ski with him.
Yeah. Who couldn't swim.
But it started
the
out
jet ski wasn't the problem. The fact that she couldn't swim was the problem.
No, but had they not gone on the jet ski, he wouldn't be.
Exactly. Okay. If you don't go out of your house, you won't get hit by a car.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Are you really saying that's the same thing? Jet skiing through the waves off Miami doesn't increase any chance of you not playing against Carolina,
but
as opposed to going to the mailbox?
That the jet ski was the thing that put her in peril, or
that
her
in
inability
a world
to swim
where things are
in
included
peril.
In contracts that you shouldn't do, I would include jet skiing.
Really?
I wouldn't. I don't think jet skiing is dangerous.
I think that's
dangerous.
Pretty low, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so
we can hear you in the other room.
Yeah, I wouldn't include that on things you can't do under contract.
Certainly in season. Maybe off season you could save me that it's not. But in season, I need you a week from now. Well, maybe he was inactive, but I need you a week from now on the field in Carolina. I don't want you jet skiing. Yeah. Lay on the beach, swim a little, tan a little, do whatever you want to do.
Very mature response, by the way, from him.
Very immature, Andy.
very team-oriented, mature response from him yesterday. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but you know the players that played did a great job, and I'm just got to continue to work hard, although he did drop a little third person at the end. I just got to be KT, he said at the end of his question yesterday. I think Karen Garigian talked to him a little bit. I saw Jeff Howe talking to him, too, so the Herald with a little double-team action on poor KT. But answered all the said all the right things in reference to him being inactive last week.
Yeah, I mean, look, relatively speaking, he had a meteoric rise. You know, no one even expected him to, you know, be on a team, and he start, you know, gets first team reps.
Yeah,
and
you could argue he was your number one receiver,
right,
quote unquote.
So good for him to take the high road, and
but not unexpected.
Not unexpected.
Ballsy to say, but it's ridiculous. But KT need to be active. KT need to get the ball.
Look what I've done in this league.
I mean,
he wouldn't be the first wide receiver if he went the other route to be.
Yeah, right, but he might be the first undrafted rookie wide receiver to go that route.
Yeah, that's true. In his first year.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, rookie, undrafted rookie.
All he KT does, needs some respect.
All he does, catch game-winning touchdown.
Right.
Or drop passes over the middle.
Well, you know, with the Patriots,
I don't know what that accent is all about, but it's
disturbing. It feels like a playmaker's kind of like cocky.
With the Patriots off, you know, it might be a good time to kind of look around the league and talk about
go around the NFL.
What else is going on? And, you know, one of the things that cropped up over the weekend, two coaches going down, Gary Kubiak and John Fox. And, you know, is it just coincidence?
All those cookies.
You know, are these guys under, you know, way, way too much stress for the normal human being?
I think they have been for years.
Well, we haven't seen this happen.
No, but I think,
although Parcells had a bout with
a lot of coaches do.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Urban Meyer. He was what, his mid 40s when he had the heart scare at Florida.
True.
Dante said, you know, it's not the first time. It's not going to be the last.
No, yeah. I think these guys overwork themselves, and we were talking about this upstairs in the cubes earlier, that it's almost like an arms race thing where you don't really probably need to spend 16 hours a day looking at film and breaking it down and all that, but you think the other guy is doing it, so you start
doing
it.
I'm glad you said that, Eric, because it leads me into my idea. Much like the CBA has regulated practice, I think this coaches association should band together and create a cap on what coaches can do. And I think, like Eric said, I think it is an arms race. If I'm not here at 4:30, then I'm going to look bad, you know, not only to my owner, but to you know, the other coaches, assistant coaches that know that the guy on the other team is doing that. I need to set that example, because if I'm not here at 4:30, I can't tell them to be here at 5. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it is kind of an arms race, I think.
But I agree with you, but it's just impossible to enforce.
Yeah, because like
it isn't. They do it with the CBA, with the practices.
Well, no, but
you actually have to be on the field to practice.
Right.
There's no way you can fake that.
Why is Bill Belichick not going to go in his office home and watch film?
He goes
for
home
and
watches film and does the same thing he would have been doing here.
True. True, but then he's not forcing all the other coaches to be here.
Yes, he is, because if they think he's doing it, then they have to do it.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I
also wonder.
I think
you know the voluntary off-season workouts that are mandatory.
I think there could be a way. I think there could be a way. I mean, I'm not a defeatist on that.
Or Brandon,
and I'm not saying that
it's a stressful job.
I'm throwing it out there.
But is it any more stressful than a million other jobs?
I was just going to say the same thing. That's what I was getting.
I mean, all we hear about is like the financial industry where all these people are.
You hear about people having strokes in their 40s all the time.
They just don't do it in front of us on national TV on Sunday, right? Yeah. I mean, I think, and that's what Dante said, it's a microcosm of society in general. There's a lot of people that work a lot of long hours that are, you know, overstressed, undersleep, you know, everything.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, didn't it just happen in banking interns in England? Like, a couple of them died because they had worked 100 hours in 110 or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's the way a lot of these
We've heard it in the medical field with these medical interns.
Yep.
It happens all the time.
Doing these 48-hour shifts.
And they
and
sleep
stuff.
For like 10 minutes on an empty
nursing.
Room.
Nursing doing double shifts or, you know.
So I don't think it's just the coaching industry.
I think we need to be more like the Spaniards where we have our little siesta in the middle of the afternoon.
That's why PFW is ahead of the curve. We do
not
it every
agree
day.
With you more.
Right after the radio show, we all take a nap.
Yeah. At the same time, though.
Brent goes on his treadmill.
But at the same time, though, I'm all for increased productivity. And I think in order to compete, you need to figure out ways to be more productive, but doing it in a reasonable way.
I think you can get plenty done in 7 hours in a day. Plenty.
But also,
if you're dedicated, if you're focused, I think you can get a hell of a lot done.
You need to remember, they're competing.
Right.
They're not working to save the world. You know, the military, for example. Okay, I think they need to work long hours, and there's actually lives at risk if they don't.
Right.
Or, you know, investigators, you know, maybe they can find that lost child or whatever.
Right.
If you can get some sort of rules in place where they're all in the same playing field, they're still entertaining. They're still going to be a winner and a loser every week.
Exactly.
They're still going to be a Super Bowl champion
at the
end of
the
year.
That's what I'm saying. Is it really necessary for these guys to drive themselves in the ground for football?
I don't think it is. But
the idea is great.
It's impossible to enforce it.
I mean, it's Collinsworth. Football.
Did you were watching the Sunday night game, as I was the other night, Freddie. Yeah. Did you hear Collinsworth mention that he always proposed opening NFL buildings at 7 a.m. and closing them at 7 p.m.?
Right. Right.
But that doesn't get past Andy's problem of what's going to prevent Belichick and any other coach with assault from doing it all.
They're always going to look for the edge.
Right.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
Yeah. What's that mean, Paul?
What?
I'm not sure I can take you seriously with those. You remind me of Chris Ferreira. But
what's wrong with the headphones?
I don't see headphones.
They're very silver and they're very large.
Well, they're not much larger on the ears than
they're
ours.
Smaller than
ones
I had.
They just look like the Tin Man. From the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, because ours are all black. His is silver.
Or like a 60s robot on a TV show that they just threw together.
Right.
All right, that I can kind of see.
They're like half the size of the ones I had.
It's because
you can
silver.
Explain it to me, but you can't. The reaction
you can
I
do
have
something
is
about
funny.
That. That's making a lot of noise.
What?
Every time he moves the microphone back and forth, it.
I thought it was Chewbacca.
No, I'm chewing.
I watched the Star Trek movie last night, the new one. It was good.
Oh, the new one.
The Star Trek movie. The one that came out earlier this year.
Oh, Star Trek. Okay.
Yeah. It was good.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I was immediately thinking Star Wars, too.
He was very good. Yeah.
Is he Khan?
He is Khan. Yeah.
Khan!
Because they kind of were vague about that at the beginning.
Who's Khan?
This guy, Benedict Cumberbatch, is a British actor who's becoming more and more known. He's actually playing the WikiLeaks guy.
Oh, right.
What's his name?
Snowden?
No,
the other guy.
The blonde hair guy.
I forget it.
I've seen those.
You know who I mean.
That movie bombed.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah. But you've seen him in that recently.
If we're going to talk movies for a quick second,
he's also Sherlock Holmes.
The guy who played Bane is going to play Elton John.
Tom Hardy?
Really?
Yeah.
Tom Hardy is going to
be
Elton John?
Two different characters?
Now, there's a...
If he pulls that off, I am now dubbing him the greatest actor of the era.
They call that range.
Because Bane was freaking awesome. And
Hugh Jackman.
Well,
Hugh Jackman can do anything.
He can do that. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But I think this is more extreme.
Yeah,
he's going from the gay, flamboyant singer to the baddest ass that ever walked the planet.
Schwarzenegger had range.
A shooting range.
Yeah.
The Richie Incognito thing.
Hugh Jackman plays these Broadway stars, and he plays Wolverine.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
He actually was in Hugh Jackman. Funny, he was hosting the Tony Awards. And was telling
Eric Watch.
No. Just listen to the story. It's a good story.
He went over Neil Patrick Harris's house to watch.
Shut up.
A-hole.
Hey, that's bullying.
He was in this role where he was playing a gay character. And he was the lead in the show. And there's a scene in his show where he has to kiss another man on stage. And as he's in his first performance doing it, it's like it's silence, and all of a sudden he hears from the upper deck someone goes, "Don't do it, Wolverine!"
That's funny. All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. So, you know, I figured I'd throw that out there with the coaches. The other thing, Aaron
Rodgers. Coaches spoke yesterday.
Yes.
So there's, I don't know if people have sort of read the transcripts, and there were some different storylines sort of expressed. Dante was one of the ones on the health, because obviously he's very one of the older coaches, longer tenured, but also one of the healthiest based on external. He joked, "Yeah, I'll probably walk out of here and get hit by a bus."
Right.
But and then some of the, you know, Ivan was talking about the committee approach, and Paul's going to be writing some about that. And
Ivan,
you know,
Fears.
Yeah, and Pepper didn't want to be there. Just said, "Ask Bill to every question."
It sounded like Pepper got, he didn't know he was had to do it.
Well, he actually said that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had to do this, so ask Bill.
Yeah, so
you
got a little
You know
bit.
Who else was there?
Who?
Tight ends coach.
Oh, is that right?
George.
George Godfrey. How was he?
Logan Mankins actually wanted me to
I don't know. I didn't
go ask Godsey all the tough questions. And I was like, what the hell am I
going to
ask George Godsey?
And then Andy, maybe he's got a little, Andy actually said, what position does George Godsey
I couldn't. I drew a blank for a minute, and I couldn't think what he coached. And now I'm like, I can't even ask him about a player because I don't know if that's who he coaches.
Did anyone say anything revealing or, you know, informationally that was interesting?
Dante, I thought, was interesting in his answers about the sacks, the fact that they have one fewer sacks this year than they had all of last year and that they're up and that's a problem. At the end of an answer said, and of course, sacks aren't all about the offensive line. I'll leave it at that, which I thought was it's Logan true. Mankins actually said the same thing when I talked to him a few weeks ago. Clearly, there's a belief that the 26 sacks are not all indicative of 26 bad plays by just the offensive line.
But you know what? I think it's refreshing that they know it's an issue. The fact that, you know, he didn't dodge it. They know the number. They know what's happening. And they're looking at why it's happening, obviously. And, you know, they're finding that, okay, sometimes it was guys just not getting separation quick enough or whatever. But it tells us all as fans and analysts that they know it's a problem. It's not just us.
They'd have to be whistling past the graveyard to not know.
There's been other times, you know, during a season where they just avoid a question. And then later on, because of a move they make or something, then you say, okay, you know, they're thinking the same way we are. But they're coming right out and saying it, you know.
Yeah. And what about Ivan's quotes about the committee?
Oh, he was very there were a number of different committee questions. You know, when Shane gets back, you know, is it going to be hard to get everybody the ball? And he just said, well, let's wait for Shane to get back and we'll see. He did say, I thought one thing that was interesting about Bolden, he said he's done a great job filling in for Vereen. He's fighting it a little bit right now. He could use a little Shane relief, which I thought was kind of interesting, telling.
He's got the bad knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I asked him a little bit about the committee approach in terms of, you know, the stress on the players. You know, everybody wants to be the star. And he said, sure, but this is what we're going to do. They know that. They know, yeah, if you have the hot hand, you might get a few more reps, but this is what we're going to do, and they're well aware of that. So
they're not making no bones about it that they want to do the committee approach.
Last year was clearly the outlier. The 290 carries for Ridley is not their goal on any level. Their goal is
so
to
they didn't like having the guy have over 1,200 yards? That wasn't good?
Why did you get so – there was some tonality.
I'm just wondering why the change?
They didn't like winning games and having 1,200 yards. That wasn't good?
I do think that if they had their choice – it would be the way it is now.
Well, who did they have last year to run?
Well, Bolden was hurt.
He was hurt or suspended or out.
Right.
You know, Vereen was hurt. You know,
yeah,
Woodhead
true.
Is not going to be a number of carries type guy. He's a diminishing returns guy. You didn't have a ton of options to turn to. Like, you have a legitimate 1,000-yard backup running back in LeGarrette Blount. Whatever you think of him, he's rushed for 1,000 yards in this league and is a big guy. And even Bolden has been out there more consistently this year and offers some value. So,
but I think they look at the team rushing total and they don't care how they get there.
Right.
And I think if they had their choice, they would rather get there the way they're doing it this year than last year.
They're a little behind, about 120 yards behind pace.
That's actually surprising to me.
And a lot less carries. They had more carries last year, you know, because when you don't convert on third down, you don't get to stay on the
field.
Well,
yeah, that's a product of running a lot less plays.
Fewer carries, and I think it was like 127 yards they're on pace to be fewer than last year.
Okay.
But I think I talked to, this was a long time ago, Bill and Charlie. That's how long ago, when Charlie was still here.
And they thought of as a good offensive coach.
And they talked about, you know, the 25 to 30 carries that you want to get as a team. They don't care if one guy gets 25. But they count it all. You know, even like a Brady sneak that gets a first down on third and short. You know, they don't care if it's divided up, you know, 10, 10, 5, 5, or whatever. Kevin Falk, you know, little draws. They all add up. And they wanted to get to a certain number. They just didn't care how they got there. So I do think, in general, you know, 290 carries for 1,200-plus yards last year for Ridley was more out of necessity. I think Andy's right. They didn't really have a lot of options for a lot of those different games. And luckily, Ridley stood up to it. You know, he was very durable last year for a running back. Running backs almost always miss a game here or there. And, you know, he missed one this year.
Right.
But he also acknowledged sort of by between the lines, I asked it a couple different questions about, you know, that's not easy necessarily for the players. And he laughed, paused, and said, okay, here's what I'll say on that. And he had kind of a PC answer, but the way he started it led me to believe, and I actually said later, you know, you're the position coach, you just listen to the crying or the bitching. Oh, sure I do. Like, it's not quite as easy to do. I mean, Stephen Ridley, do you want to be a 1,200-yard back or a committee back? Obviously, right. You want to be a 1,200-yard back.
Right.
That's how you make money. That's how you have fun.
And
get
they
famous.
Always tell you that, you know, these backs, the good ones, like to get into a rhythm. They they like to get more and more carries.
Yeah, and I'll take it another step in terms of the individual. You know, running backs have such short shelf lives. We know that. And you, if you're stuck in a committee and then you're going to end up being a free agent and then you end up weighing, you know, 4-year, $12 million options like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis got.
Right.
Well, that's not, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know,
I take
for us. But, you know, you look at some of the running back contracts that are out there, you know, like, you know, Peterson and Chris Johnson and some of the high end guys get. I'm not saying Stephen Ridley would be in line for one of those, but that's what he's shooting for.
So he's saying he should have held out this year after his 12.
You know, Matt Forte. You know, that's what they're looking for, that one contract that can set them up, you know, going forward. And you're not going to get that as being part of a committee.
You wonder, though, you know, if coaches somehow, you know, I don't want to call it collusion, but they get
but to, let's use it. But, let's call it.
But a mindset gets out there where, you know what, the running back position, like – we really shouldn't be paying these guys $8 million. You know, you can, because of the passing, you can open up the run, and you don't need a guy like Adrian Peterson to be your ball carrier, you know? And you
some
wonder if
don't.
That gets out there and it just permeates. And,
right.
You know, it's a copycat league. And without saying it, that just becomes sort of the thinking.
Yeah, I mean,
if
I
have
think
the
some
passing
teams
game
do
to go with it, yeah.
Need to run. I think if the Vikings didn't run the ball, then they'd have absolutely nothing.
They'd have
literally,
negative,
right,
they'd have
nothing
yardage
with running. You know what I mean? They're not going to win. They're just not going to win.
I see. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I know.
You really
know
think
you
they have a shot at winning a Super Bowl?
If they get some talent, yeah.
Well, if they can throw the ball,
right?
Right, but they don't have to become the Patriots. I think if they just get a decent passing game with a running,
oh, I
game,
don't think they do either. I don't think they do either, but. Right now,
you're looking at
with
it from
the
a
best
Patriots
running back
perspective
in the league, they don't have a shot.
Right.
You know?
So, Tom,
so
Patriots had the
so
best
it,
quarterback
so
in the league.
Wouldn't you
and
rather,
without Danny Amendola
know, but,
and Rob Gronkowski, they didn't have
so
a shot.
So you can say, okay, you know.
But they did have a shot.
No, they didn't. No,
but they did.
They
I mean,
didn't. They didn't.
The record said that they did.
They didn't. The record can say whatever
no, but,
it wants.
But so you can say, okay, you know, with Adrian Peterson, now if we add a passing game, we'll be unstoppable. Sure. But you can also say, I'll save half that money and put it towards a passing game, and we'll be better than we are now. Right?
I guess. I mean, I'm on the record. I don't think there's any one way to win. I think you can win by having talent.
And I agree with that.
And
but I think
depends
that,
where the talent is. But
yeah, I think that the greatest quarterback in the game will win you a championship, but the greatest running back will not.
Right, not alone. You're right. I actually don't know that the greatest quarterback wins it alone either.
Well,
yeah. But the point that I think Fred's trying to make, and the one I always do that you yell at me about, is I think you can win with elite passing and no running, but you can't win with elite running and no passing. Now, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Minnesota doesn't have a semblance of a passing game, so it's unfair to sit there and say, see, Adrian Peterson can't win. No, he can't. But that's because they have a total inept passing game.
Right.
Give him Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, a serviceable, quote-unquote, game manager. Well, if he went to Minnesota, then he would then be a journeyman if he went to Minnesota. But if you could just be serviceable throwing the ball, Adrian Peterson's probably good enough running the ball to make you a legit threat. I mean, they went 10-6 last year.
Right. That's
but,
my point.
But Ponder was serviceable last year. He's clearly taken a step back this year.
But why was
I
he serviceable?
I don't think that you can win.
Why was
I don't think you can win at all doing that.
You know why he was serviceable? Because there were eight men in the box all worried about Adrian Peterson, and he had plenty of field to work with.
Yeah,
Ponder's not good.
I just don't think you can win enough, you know, win it all, win deep into the playoffs with that kind of a team. I think you need to be able to throw the ball at a high level to win.
I don't know. Not sure I agree with it.
Yeah,
right,
the bigger problem with running backs.
I think the bigger problem
with running backs is the contract.
The running backs were the
is that you pay them a contract, and very few of them are worth the contract the day you sign it.
Right,
they all get their money living off that first contract, and you're paying them for what they did, not what they're going to do. Yeah. That is the biggest problem with running backs.
And I think the great teams that have won with running also had a great defense to go along with it.
Sure.
You know, we could play that style of offense and hold the other team and not.
But again,
have
that's my whole thing. I think whatever the number is, if you think teams have six characteristics, well, if you give me four really good ones, I think I can win. If you give me three great ones, two great ones, I might win. There's a lot of different ways to piece it together, especially in this crap bum league.
Yeah.
I agree with you largely. I just think that if one of those elements isn't at least a decent passing attack, I don't think you can win.
Well, you have to be, competitive, competent.
That's why I said like Alex Smith.
But
I don't think Alex
Smith is the perfect example.
But I mean, how about Peyton Manning? The perfect example.
Wow.
You know, he was the best forever, and he won once because everybody said the defense actually started to play.
But see, that now you get into that argument of, okay, so are you really going to kill him for a bad couple of bounces here or there? Because all those years, they could have easily won just as easily as the Patriots or the Steelers or anybody else. They had, there's luck involved too.
But see, I think I think the 49ers a couple of years ago just as easily could have won a Super Bowl with a team that was running in defense. Right?
Right. So you're not going to, right. No, and I hear
you had Frank
saying.
Gore, a
right.
great defense, and everybody thought Alex Smith was a fraud. Right?
Yeah. Oh, no, that would be the example.
So if
of
they had
team.
Won the Super Bowl, they wouldn't have changed as a team. They would have won the Super Bowl with the way they were made. Yeah. And they weren't that far away. They weren't. They were a couple plays away, a couple of bounces away.
Bad bounces on punt returns that cost them the chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Credit for, a couple bad bounces hurt him. Well, then I can give their dynamic credit for a couple bad bounces.
I mean, but they felt that they couldn't get over that hump until they got rid of Alex Smith and put in Kaepernick.
So what's the hump that Atlanta had to get over last year?
They couldn't get over it. Yeah,
I know,
that's a choke.
But that's my point. There's all these humps, and you can get over them in different ways with different talents and different people.
Yep.
You know, for some teams, coaching is a hump. You probably have better players than you do coach. For this team, I think you have coaching.
I understand
than
what
players.
You're saying, because it's dangerous to ever just say 100% one or another. Right. Paint with a broad brush. You can't
like the Jets.
You can't just say you can't do it that way. I think it is extremely difficult to do it that way.
You're right that passing is the most likely way because the league is set up for passing. That's what it is.
Right.
Although I will say, if they're going to go the way they look like they're going this year, based on what I've seen in the regular season, this postseason is going to be the most physical postseason ever because they've allowed guys to be raped running out on pass patterns in the regular season.
It's almost like they, all the stuff that the defenses have been saying about how they're, making us wear skirts, they're kind of saying, okay, in that stuff in the middle of the field, we're still going to enforce it. But this little ticky-tack stuff, we're going to let you do
it. If you're going to allow Darius Butler to just wrap his arms around Wes Welker at the line of scrimmage, well, then in the postseason, when it generally takes a leap of that nature, you're just going to allow people to be mugged, I guess.
Right.
It's amazing to me that the one that they still never call is when you hit the guy before the ball gets there. Forget about running down the sideline with an arm bar or something like this, a little hand jockeying going on and the holds coming off the line. But just the hit comes before the ball gets there. They don't ever call that. Right. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I like it, by the way. I'm not really complaining. I kind of like that they're letting the defense.
But
defend.
I don't like it. Like, if you get hit before the ball gets there, that should be pass.
I think they call pass interference.
I think they call it all wrong. Like, the one that they called on, what was the game that the guy ran, Miami maybe? The guy ran by Gronkowski, breaking for the ball?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's garbage.
Yep.
But then, two series later, you might see Dobson go out for a pass, and he just gets buried on the sideline like a second before the ball gets there, and they don't call it.
Right.
Like, they get him backwards.
Well, it's because officiating stinks, right?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the phones.
May even be corrupt.
Andre's in San Diego. Hey, Andre.
Throwing it out there.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for holding on.
No problem. I got a take on Ridley I want to get to, but first, I'm glad I got you all in studio, especially Eric, because some weeks ago, he had a take on an insightful take on how players took losing and their outlook in general about their job.
Oh, right.
I just have to say Eric, that was some of the best radio I've heard. It was pretty good. I actually had to sit in my car once I had stopped and hold off on what I was doing. I was running errands. I was doing something, but it was so good. It just had me stuck for a minute. And that was pretty good, man, because I'm a Dial fan. I take losing bad. I can't watch things. It's hard for me to listen to things, but it still is. But it's just a new appreciation for Eric because everyone, kind of talks a lot of crap about Eric and he gets a lot. But that was Okay.
All right. How much did I pay you for this? How much did we agree on?
Eric's eyebrows even rose while you were saying that. Well, he was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, but I appreciate the sentiment, and you know, I'm glad you were listening.
And now the really take.
So earlier in the season, I can't remember if it was a preseason game. He had a long breakout run, and he got caught. And I mean, he had end zone written over. It might have been
preseason first carry.
Yeah, okay, right. So he looked out of shape to me at that point. I mean, you look at him now, he's slashing, he's gashing, he's looking real good. And I know he had a fumble or a couple earlier in the season. Do you think maybe it was more, not so much that he fumbled, that he was losing time throughout the season, but maybe they was slowly working him into shape? Because he looks good now.
Could be. He certainly looked out of shape on that run. No doubt about it. He looked like, I don't know how you could run out of gas on the first touch. I don't have any idea. You're supposed to be a 1,000-yard running back, and the refrigerator jumped on about 15 yards downfield. So maybe he did. Maybe he was not in great shape to start the year. Maybe they were not comfortable with where he was, thought he got fat and happy in the offseason.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
The thing I found curious, though, was more the closer to the middle of the season when he was being put in a reserve role, and whenever he would come out on the field, he would light it up for a few plays, then they'd pull him.
But maybe that's part of it. Like, you're showing you're good, but we can't just bow down to you. Oh, the great Ridley is now. Like, we need to continue to teach you your lesson, and it's not going to be as easy as a couple nice runs. Okay, you got it back to where
but
you are.
There is no doubt he is their best runner.
No question.
I totally agree.
There's also no doubt in my mind that he wants to be a star.
I don't think anyone's close to him in terms of just a pure running back.
Well, Vereen, I think once if he's healthy, I think he could be good.
I think he does other things better than.
Yeah, I think
Ridley,
he can catch the ball better.
I don't think he's a between the tackles running back.
No, he doesn't run as angry.
I don't think he's
Ridley.
Even close. Yeah.
But I think I literally think he wants to be a star. Yeah. And I know you
look at his hair designs and all that stuff. I mean, that attention thing that does.
And he drives like the black Hummer.
He's
and
a poor man's Clinton Portis.
He wants to be
not bad.
He wants to be the center of attention.
It's not bad.
It could be a whole lot worse than Hummer's. I mean, those are actually kind of modest compared to what these.
No, but it's just the way. And
have you seen Vince's truck?
He's a big guy.
Vince is a semi tractor trailer.
Yeah. But he sends out photos on Twitter of him like. You know, one day there was like a helicopter that looked like it was out of like some fan. He has
a helicopter.
I don't know if he had it. He rented it. It was flying. I don't even know. And I'm trying not to get him in trouble. I probably shouldn't even have brought it up, but it was out there on
Twitter.
Was he
jet skiing too?
But I just think he wants to live the life of a star NFL running back.
Yeah.
And when you're on a committee, you don't really get to do that.
Well, with all that said, you guys prefer his like really quick, cutty, you know, slash and gash style where he's going to pretty much guarantee he's moving forward. I'll give him that. He's usually trying to keep it moving forward. And you know you're going to get a nice average out of them, or would you prefer that breakaway back that we kind of don't have?
Well, yeah, I mean, those guys, I think Ridley can be that guy. And the thing about Ridley is he's learned to not take hits straight on. He's learned to kind of contort his body so even when he gets hit, he still goes forward. And that's kind of an art. You know,
I think Ridley's good.
He avoids that, and Emmitt Smith was really good at that.
I was going to just say
you
name.
You can never really get that square on hit
much,
on him.
Andy.
You know?
He has not done the back thing as much. A little side. Yeah. He still kind of turns away.
Yeah,
but not like his rookie year, though.
No, his rookie year was
bad. He would
literally
go 180 degrees into the line and then spin out of it.
You know, if you ask me, would I rather have him than Blunt? I'd rather have him.
For sure.
Because Blunt, I think, is a big back who wants to run like a little back. I would say Le'Veon Bell is the same thing. Would I rather have Ridley or Bell? A second round pick who's supposed to be good, and from what I saw on Sunday,
give me Ridley. Yeah,
I like the slash and gash terminology
because he's strong and he can turn on the jets when he has to.
Ideally, I'd like him to finish runs and be able to.
Yeah, sure. I don't think he's a breakaway guy, but I'm fine.
Can't have it all.
I'm fine with what he does.
That was a third round pick.
I'm fine with what he does well.
I like that he hits the hole decisively. I like that he cuts very well. And Bolden has some of that too. Bolden can kind of make a nice
little slash and sharp in his cuts.
Yeah,
though.
Not as sharp, not as good.
I don't love Bolden,
but I think Ridley's got that, and I like that aspect.
I think Bolden judged.
All right, Andre, thanks for the call.
Cheap. Thanks, guys.
All right, let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Miami. Hey, what's going on, guys?
You going jet skiing with KT later?
No, it's actually a little cool out here in Florida.
Right, cool as in what? 70, 75?
Oh, about that much.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It's actually pretty nice.
The weather's pretty cool right now. But the reason I was calling on that Ridley thing, I believe they should give him the reins because we're going to need him in the playoffs. You know, since we already, you know, we're 7-2, so we're going to make the playoffs. But the thing is, I don't want to get to the playoffs and have my hopes up, and then we get smacked in the mouth again.
Right.
You know, and we need that physical part, and, you know, all that passing is great and all, they have the stats and stuff like that, but I want to go to a game that I know that, you know, we're going to hit back. Because there's a lot of times when I'll be seeing Brady just looking like, you know, a deer in headlights.
Well, you know what? I agree with that that thought process. I think they've actually had some tough early games already this year where it wasn't like other years where, like, they're blowing out all the teams they're supposed to blow out, and then they have a tough game against a team that's good, and then they get exposed for it in the playoffs. I think they've actually played a lot of tough games, maybe against weaker opponents too, which might help them later on down the line, at least psychologically, going in knowing, hey, you know, we might be down, but we're not out of
it. That's the Chester and Oregon theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also, in terms of the running game, just because he's not the runner, you're still running. You know, LeGarrette Blount, you're running. And there's something to be said for, well, if Ridley has fumbling issues in late December, early January, or if Ridley's hurt, well, Blount has been running all year long. So Right. You're not just turning it over to, if you want to be physical and want to be able to run, you're not just turning it over to a guy who hasn't really done it.
And that might be the hope. They want to keep all these guys fresh.
And it's what they
do. Not fresh, but, you know, in it, in the game.
But it's no different. I mean, there's like three positions on the team where they don't do that. All the other positions, they have personnel groups coming in and off on offense. They have personnel groups at linebacker, game, but, you know, they have a lot of movement within the personnel almost everywhere on the team.
Yeah, and that does help down the road because everybody's got some experience to fall back on. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for the call.
KT, we say hi.
Let's go to Alex in Chicago. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, girl?
All right, well, as much as I hate seeing LeGarrette Blount returning kickoffs, it seems as though he always gets to at least the 20-yard line or the 25-yard line.
Lately, he's been getting over the 20 a little bit more.
Yeah, but that's not good.
I know.
You know they give you the 20, right?
They give you the 20.
For free.
I know.
Give you a free 20. He's getting an extra 3.
Sometimes.
And it's funny because he'll catch a ball on kickoff like 109 yards deep, and Matthew Slater will come running to tell him not to take it out. And by his body language, it seems as though he always wants to take it out.
Yeah,
well, he thinks he's an athlete. Yeah. He thinks he's a playmaker.
Yeah, I mean, he should want
to.
He
should want to. Yeah, anybody would want to.
Yeah, anyways,
hesitated a couple times and then taken it out.
Well, you can't do that.
You can't do that. That's not a good
one. You already run a 4.940. You can't do that.
Yeah, and the other thing that worries me, he seems to break two or three tackles to get to the 24. That's the other part of it that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get your guys' opinion on the new guy we signed from the Ravens. Do you think he'll be returning kickoffs now or what his role will be? And another thing is, I want to know what the guys from PFW do during the bye week on Sundays when the Patriots aren't playing. So, thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
I wonder what I'm doing.
I don't know if I don't know.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm watching football.
With his pants off.
Right.
I'll be at the TD Garden watching a college basketball triple header.
Fred's going to get a little cocktails in him.
Oh, what a loser.
What are you going to do?
Who's the triple header?
Basketball.
Oh.
Northeastern BU will be the game that I'm interested in, but... BU, BC, UMass, and
I'll be there holding court, you know, the Perilla box.
The seven other Northeastern fans. Hey, good to see all the kids. Oh, the kids will be there. Sorry, they won't have to ask.
Once again, you have to mock and ridicule because why would you find anything interesting? Says Andy Hart. Hey, Andy Hart's lesson in life. Why would you find anything that you like interesting?
Is Northeastern going to be good this year?
They'll be all right.
Tournament?
NCAA? No.
Is there any other kind?
Yeah. The NIT. That's what they went through last year.
No one cares about
that. Probably not an NCAA team. But you never know.
No chance at all?
So
Williams.
There's a chance.
Williams.
College?
Coverage. Special teams coverage guy. I'm not sure he's a returner.
Why do we need that? Besides, you have
I don't know
Leon
if you've been
Washington.
Watching the last couple of weeks, but the Supposedly. Coverage has been leaking a little bit.
When are we going to...
A little bit.
How many guys are we going to have that are just special teamers?
Well, here's my theory.
They have too
many. You want my theory?
But they're still winning.
I'm afraid to ask, but go ahead.
I think that a lot of guys that are core special teams players are playing bigger roles on defense
right
now.
They are, yes.
And I think that might be contributing to the coverage being a little leaky lately.
Dane Fletcher.
Marquise Cole.
Dane Fletcher, Cole. Daron Harmon.
Daron Harmon.
Maybe good, even a little
call.
Jamie Collins.
Good call.
It's not terrible.
It's yeah. Wow. It makes a lot of sense.
And I'm interested in it, and I don't know why I'm interested in it.
Loser!
You're not really interested in it because you think special teams are useless.
That is true.
I also think
but I do think that might have something to do with
plausible
why they signed this guy. And, you know, we were talking about yesterday, like, why did they deem it so important that they had to immediately replace the sixth receiver? Well, in reading about him a little bit, he's really not a receiver. He's more of a wide receiver who plays special teams like
Slater. Matthew Slater.
Right.
And I think you're going to see, hopefully, Leon Washington,
that
fingers
would
crossed,
that would help
returning the opening or the first kickoff against
he
Carolina.
Will. I think it.
Because I think you can get more out of your kick return game than you're getting out of Blunt.
He's going to take it to the hizzy.
That might not be a great game. Carolina, they probably, you know, won't be, you know, sub-zero that you're right. not getting touchbacks.
Pat in Long Island is Long Island is on the phone. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, how great was that Aaron Dobson touchdown pass? The way he put his hand up in the air and never turned back, I just wanted to
looked like Moss.
Yeah, Moss-like.
Sweet. Yeah, that was nice. I haven't seen that in a while.
We're back to that.
But
no,
my question
Moss.
Is, did Amendola
like
seem
Moss.
Like they're using Amendola more for a deep pass running routes? And underneath stuff where he's getting crushed and he's taking more hits. Do you think that maybe they're going to start using him further down the field pass patterns? Do you see that happening? Or
I don't know. I mean, with Gronk like back, you know, you could see him, you know, stretching it out a little bit more.
I think that was one of the things that when he was being talked about as a signee and when he actually signed was that he's quicker than Welker. He has the flexibility maybe to line up outside more often than Welker.
But right now I just wonder, I mean, he is limited right now.
I still think they used him mostly on underneath stuff. He hit two long ones.
Right.
If he didn't have
because he wasn't covered.
Yeah, I think more of his patterns, I think, are underneath. Mm.
If he didn't have at least one groin injury that we know about, maybe he would be doing more of those types of patterns.
Right.
You know, because as we saw in that 57-yarder,
and Pat does bring
he's
up a
not
good
at
point.
Full speed.
Because you wonder if, you know, maybe they don't want to ask him to do too many, you know, sharp cuts.
Well, I would. That's
yeah.
the one
underneath,
thing
about. And you know, you could just run.
Right.
You're running go routes. You're not really sharply cutting one way or the other.
But that's why I asked, did he not take that to the house because of the groin? Or are we giving him too much of an excuse? Because most people say the groin affects you on your lateral movement, not straightaway speed running. So
it just seemed
but
like
he certainly looked like he couldn't go
faster. He couldn't get going fast.
Yeah.
You know?
It looked like he was
slowed
down.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we
yeah,
all
he
kind
didn't
of
look
I
thought
as fast
so.
As he should have looked.
Right.
I agree with that.
He
the
hasn't,
reason why is I don't
yeah.
know.
I mean, he had the two huge plays, but since he's come back, he just certainly does not look anywhere near as quick and fast as he did in training camp. Now it's to be expected.
Yeah.
Because I know he's nowhere near 100%.
No, nobody's as fresh as Daisy out there early in November, Paul.
Thanks, Bill.
And I have another question.
Go ahead, Pat.
When did Gregory start taking over the defensive play calling? I thought...
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. The last two games, it's been Gregory. The one before that, it was Hightower.
Yeah, and I think might have been too much on Hightower's plate.
I see. Gregory was doing a better job, I think.
Yeah,
really broken out the last couple weekends playmaking.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue to me, Pat, was I think Hightower was not out there every play.
What do you think the difference is?
That's probably
Gregory was going to.
No, but that's probably the biggest reason.
When you call a play, they chime it in your ear and you call it. As a linebacker, he still has to make adjustments. He still has to make calls. So you're not taking anything off his plate other than playing the freaking
then why
operator
did they
game.
Do it?
Well, because he wasn't out there every play.
Against the Jets, he was a three-down linebacker. Against the other two teams, he wasn't.
He's been taken out a lot. He's been subbed in for, you know, Dane Fletcher's come
he's
in
not
for
that good.
Or they've gone to, you know, dime packages. And
I mean, they played almost exclusively nickel and dime against Pittsburgh.
No, but if he were good, like he should be, he'd be out there every play.
Oh, absolutely.
He's coming out because he's not that good. That's why he's coming out. He's not a core three-down linebacker.
And they needed somebody like Gregory who was going to be out
he's always out there.
Every play.
Yeah, it was pretty cool the way they ran the helmet in on there. It was like, you know, they were right on the top of that. Because they had to change helmets for...
They hadn't been, they would have been... Somebody would have gotten chewed out.
Someone might have had to play without a helmet.
That's the advantage of having Belichick as your head coach.
All right, go Pat.
All right, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Go, Pat.
All right.
Did he say he was going to buy lunch?
I think he was going to buy lunch. Fred cut him off.
A-hole.
Call back.
What are you doing?
Call back.
Email
thanks, Pat.
In. WebRadioPatriots.com. Attention, lunch.
Biggest Pats fan on Long Island.
WebRadio@Patriots.com. Phil from Nova Scotia has what I think. sort of like Peter King thing?
Peter King.
Number one, team matchups are more important than home field advantage, record, and talent.
Yep.
Two, this year proves it's more Belichick than Brady, but Brady is the difference between being competitive and being a champion. Three, the NFL will develop and enforce a strict anti-bullying policy. It will also include how fans conduct themselves at games, especially concerning alcohol.
Well, we are at the
beginning of a culture shift for both players and fans.
They already have that fan code of conduct.
But I think you are going to see that an overreaction to this.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to allow to have haircuts anymore. You're not going to be allowed to have any fun.
I'll finish this one more, and then I'm going to say something. Four, playmaking, not consistency, will determine the fate of the Patriots' 2013 season.
I agree.
Not consistency. I don't know. I don't
understand. What was the argument?
I don't really want to say
that. Playmaking,
not consistency.
Yeah.
So if you can make a couple of plays and suck the rest of the game, you'll be all right.
Well, I don't know about suck.
Well, isn't that what playmaking? You don't have to be consistent. You just have to make some plays.
In other words,
if they win, they're going to win because they make some plays.
They're going to be in tight contests, and it's going to come down to the fact that they made the play. I mean, isn't that how it always is, though?
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't think they have that kind of an offense.
I think any coach would want the consistency, don't you think? As long as it's good, you know. As long as you're not consistently bad.
Fair point, Freddie.
But you know, number three, the whole thing. I agree with Paul. They're making it into this referendum on hazing and rites of passage, and this is just one guy being an ass and treating another guy who has some problems poorly.
Well,
that's all it is, really.
Not if the coach told him to. That's a second layer to this.
No, but the coach, you know, the coach has told him, if that's true, to toughen him up. He didn't tell him to use the N-word. He didn't tell him he's going to slap his wife. He didn't tell him to say, I'm going to kill you. That's not what the coach told him to do.
Correct.
This is one ass
bullying
another person. It's got nothing to do with haze. It shouldn't have anything to do with hazing or.
Well, it's not hazing, right.
Or, you know, all that other crap.
I don't like hazing, but this is the reason I don't like it. But I agree with, well, it's a form of hazing.
This is bullying. This is different.
But it started with hazing. It started with the money that he had to give that he didn't want to give. And it's escalated to bullying.
I think those are issues, but I don't think that is what the issue is. If it was just that, there wouldn't be anything. It's the other stuff. It's his.
I think it's all of it. I think
you're
just dismissing a lot of stuff because you are okay with
it. It's one individual's treatment to another, and that's what this story should be focused on. Not all these teams and what they do and all that crap.
I think there's going to be widespread, regulations that don't need to be there. That's what I think is going to end up happening. You know, I think that when things are happening wrong, I think you know it, and you should. You know, these teams and the organizations, and this is why I don't let the Dolphins off the hook on this. I think you need to do something about it. I think you can't sit there blind. And you guys know I like Joe Philbin because he used to be at Northeastern. Okay? So I like this guy. But
might be back there soon.
If he didn't know, well, you're not going to have a job because they don't have a football team anymore. But if he didn't know what was going on, that's horrible, and he should be fired. And if he did know, that's horrible, and he should be fired.
Right. You know, what is it that was going on? See, what I'm saying is, like, Richie Incognito has been in the league for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this isn't the first guy he's treated that way.
Oh.
But this is the first guy that had an emotional problem that he admits. So now it backfired on him. You know, most guys will, brush it off.
But here's the thing. Like, when did Jonathan Martin go to Joe Philbin and tell him that he was having problems?
I don't know. I heard a couple weeks ago, maybe.
Okay.
It sounds like it was recent. Because
he never knew. His whole rookie year, that this guy is struggling. All off season, he's not here at some of the voluntary workouts.
Well, that's why he said, "Can you toughen him up?"
There's got to be a reason that he needed. You know, the goal was he needed to get him to the voluntary workouts. That's the thing I read last night.
Yeah.
He didn't like sense that this guy's a little different.
But I think there's a lot of little different guys in every locker room. Brandon Lloyd was a little different.
Okay,
Corey Dillon was a little different.
Brandon Lloyd was a little different. Do you think that Bill would then say, we need to get this guy in the program? Or do you think you might say, this guy's a little different. I got to treat him a little different.
I think Tom Brady treated Randy Moss a little different. Tom Brady spent a lot of time keeping Randy Moss in line.
Exactly.
Right.
This is exactly what I'm saying. And if you have that structure in place where you understand there are
different
personalities
types
in your locker room.
Exactly.
Right. You deal with it.
But don't you think some of them, they break, they say, I got to toughen this guy up. I got to get the wuss out of him or whatever they think it is.
Yeah, that's the mentality that I hate, that I think that needs to end. And that's what most people are okay with. Yeah, well, he's got to conform. He's got to be like us. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He can help you being the way he is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure that's true.
Oh, I think you can get get talent out of a player without changing his personality.
You got to find out how he ticks.
People should be allowed to be different.
Yes.
But on the other hand, we need you to perform to a certain level.
Right. Well, that's the problem. That's two different things. And Andy had this pegged before we ever even saw this guy put on a professional uniform. Andy watched his college tape and said, this guy can't play.
Right.
Well, that's different.
That's the crux of the Jonathan Martin problem. You could call him not tough, and you can call him emotionally weak. He can't play.
Right.
Now, it might be because of all these things, but hey, I mean, Andy, I'm giving you the credit for this because you said the guy was going to be a flat-out bust.
And I was
right. And you didn't know anything about his emotional, right? You didn't have any idea about his emotional baggage.
But there's a separation between talent and commitment, toughness, reliability, and I think Joe Philbin was questioning the latter. Joe Philbin's a smart enough football coach to know, okay, we got this guy. He's not as good as we thought. But he's also not as committed as we thought.
Well,
he's also not as driven or as dedicated
Wait a minute. What if, like to Fred's point, how come, and maybe he did, we're just assuming here, but how come Joe Philbin didn't go to Jonathan Martin and say, is everything okay? How come, you know, what's the problem? Because for the reports I'm hearing, the Dolphins didn't know why he wasn't at practices in the spring.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. You have to get in touch with your player communicate and say, mm-hmm. What happened? Where were you?
I agree.
And then at that point, if the player says, well, you know what? I haven't really been feeling committed because I have this problem with this jerk that I work with, and he's treating me terribly, and it's affecting my mood, and that's, you know, then they would have found out a long time ago.
The least amount of time I can spend around him, the better.
Exactly.
Right.
So it seems to me like they dropped the ball in trying to reach out to him if they noticed these things earlier.
You have an investment. He's a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if he's an undrafted rookie free agent.
Well, I get it.
If you care about your players, you care about your players.
Yeah, that's
true. I just think what we don't understand is every year there's 90 players on a team. Like, as Bill said, thousands of players come through this program over a certain extended period of time.
Right.
There are all types. There are all different weaknesses.
Yep.
There are all different strengths. There are all different personalities. And they've done various things with different guys. You know, who was it, Hilliard, that vomited on the field and wasn't here very long.
Yeah,
Corey.
Yeah. Right, and ended up succeeding with
the
Colts.
Still in the league, by the way.
It didn't work. Jeremy Mincy wasn't the right fit. They may have tried certain things to motivate and or break and or test him and figure out what kind of guy he is. It works elsewhere. It doesn't work here. We're looking at this from just sort of a pie in the sky. You had a guy who was a little not fitting in and who has some emotional issues, and you should treat it as X. But we've done other things. There were guys with a similar profile who we toughened up, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you that has worked at some point. Some guy who was not tough enough, they did something to, and it clicked, they broke him.
But you have to figure out which guys it works
with. Yeah, some guys are
going
to be receptive to that, and other guys are going to be freak out.
Right. And you're wrong sometimes, but you're right sometimes.
Right.
For all we know, it's worked three times, it's worked four times.
But
that's what we're going to do again.
Does toughening up mean you call him a half end?
No.
You're going to slap his wife. You're going to kill him.
There were certain lines that were crossed.
That's one guy being an ass.
But, yeah, see, I don't think that. I think that could have happened to anybody in any locker room, and I think this is not just about Incognito.
But in this case, it was.
See, I'm not sure
it
is.
And if somebody else does it, they should be.
I don't think so.
So you think this is the first time he's done it?
No.
So where are all these guys who are saying he's been doing that for years? He did that to me.
But all I hear is on that video,
he calls Pouncey the same thing on the video. Pouncey doesn't react the same way.
But it's different.
But they're all wrong.
But don't you think that he's trying, like, to use your word, he's trying to toughen him up, and he wants to elicit an angry reaction from Martin.
Sure.
And then he probably is going to, the end game in Incognito's mind is probably, there he is.
Yeah.
That's the guy I'm looking for. We need that guy all the time.
He's going to hug him.
And hug it out.
Like, now
that's what he's looking for.
I think Incognito is
a Neanderthal. I think there's no place for a guy who got kicked out of the two schools that he got kicked out of.
Mm.
Probably arguably the two toughest schools in college football outside of the SEC to get kicked out of.
But what did he get kicked out for?
I mean, we don't know exactly, but I think it matters. He got dismissed from the Nebraska program and the Oregon program.
It kind of matters.
That's virtually impossible to me.
It kind of matters to me.
My guess is
it wasn't grades.
Yeah, my guess is it was for interactions with teammates.
See, I don't think it was.
Or coaches.
I think one of them was a drunken bar fight, which to me, okay. Yeah,
well, but a drunken bar fight could have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah.
If that's what he got kicked out of, it wasn't one.
I hear everybody throwing that argument around. He got kicked out of it. Yeah, I need to know more.
How many guys get kicked out of those schools?
But
I'm not trying to defend Incognito.
Now,
I'm
not many of them go on to be high round picks and successful NFL players, because usually DBs wash out. They just, in general, that's a sign of their limitations as a person, so they don't go on to be successful. He's gone on to be successful. My point would be, the guy has had a long NFL career on which, on the field, he's been deemed an a-hole, clearly, in games. That's not really up for question. But why do I hear so many people, he's a guy that when he's on your team, you love him. He's a guy, every team needs a guy like him. And where do I hear all these other people that say, I was in Buffalo, he was an a-hole, he bullied me, he called me this. I was in St. Louis, he bullied me, he called me this. Because a lot of those guys,
I think there's still the thing where you don't talk about, you don't admit that affected you.
Some guys are probably
afraid to admit that.
And even Jonathan Martin didn't do that.
Is it also the culture
you have to defend and speak out positively for the guy? Can't you just say nothing? Why does everybody have to rally to his support?
Not everyone has. Like a handful of people have.
A lot of Dolphins did.
A lot of Dolphins.
Well, they're trying to keep their locker
room. And a lot of players on other teams who randomly don't know the situation. Antrell Roll has been very positive. Might have been Marshall Faulk, one of the ex. I mean, there's a lot of people. You don't have to say anything. Right? You can just keep your mouth shut. No one's making you say good things about this guy. A lot of people seem to be choosing to say good things about him and the idea of him. Yeah. I just think we're rushing to a judgment here because he's an a-hole, because he does certain
things.
But I think that's all it is.
He's an a-hole. Yeah. It's not.
I think you're oversimplifying a complex situation.
I think you are too. I don't think this is about Incognito. I think this is about the culture. I think you're way simplifying it. Well, I think this could happen in any locker room, and if there's another Jonathan Martin in another locker room, the same thing happens.
But most of them are like what Andy's saying, they obviously didn't mind, and they got past it. I guess I'm not putting my point in. I agree. I think it does happen in all these locker rooms.
It's the reaction of the guy it's happening to that's the difference, not the guy who's doing
it. That's right. So when you gotta have a guy with an emotional issue, back off.
How do you know the guy has it before
he
has it?
They call him the big weirdo.
And you don't think other players are made fun of and called stuff like that all the time?
Back off.
No, yeah, but I think what Fred is saying is, like,
you don't know football. You don't know the toughness of the game and the mentality.
It's way more complex than you're making it out to be.
It's another example, sort of like the big hits on the field, where people want everything to be nice and pretty in football, and you can be this animal and then expect them to just be normal people.
Look,
it's a different culture.
I know, and I'm saying this stuff goes on all the time.
But you don't think somebody's been called a big weirdo and, quote, toughened up and gone on to have a long, successful, popular NFL career?
Maybe, but are you telling me that the only sign that this guy was going to go over the edge was flipping over the table?
I have no idea.
And there were no other signs before that?
Well, why was he a second-round pick?
You know?
Because I don't think you risk it on a guy like that.
Once he got to Miami.
So he was so mentally troubled that it popped up at Miami?
I'm just saying.
You can't have both. You can't have severe mental issues that don't pop up until you get to
Miami. And you guys were saying that he never said anything to Philbin until recently?
I don't know. That's what I heard.
The reports are making it sound like it was only recently.
And you can understand why he wouldn't do that,
so
because
how would you
he wants
know?
To fit into the culture, too.
Exactly.
He's
that's
trying
what I'm saying.
To
so
do
how,
that.
So how do you
and he
know?
But obviously,
it's not obvious. It's obvious in
retrogress.
Incognito
targeted this guy. He targeted him.
Because he was told to, if you believe the reports.
He was told to toughen him up.
So exactly. That's why he targeted him.
But you're making it sound like he was told to toughen a guy up who was emotionally unstable. And,
you're oversimplifying
and you knew
a complex issue.
I think you back off when you have a guy like that.
Yeah. I think it's easy to say in retrospect.
Assuming you have done your due diligence and tried to make every effort to find out what's wrong
with
the guy.
Well, they didn't do
that. It sounds like they didn't do that, Fred.
Right.
And that's their fault for not trying to reach out for this.
And that's why I heard of football the Philbins of the world responsible.
Absolutely.
The sport of football is built upon, you know, having each other's back and knowing you
the
can
brotherhood.
Push. But to me, when you say toughen somebody up and whatever, that's not all that different than your coach making you do gassers in August to find out where your breaking point is. Like, it's sort of the heart of football, right? I mean, there's, you know, what's the Bear Bryant's, you know, he was breaking guys. And if you didn't make it, you know, again, whistle for a miracle.
Miracle, right.
That's what that is.
But
it's a different type, but it's the same thing.
Right.
The breaking point,
but
finding
I think you can make the argument that for a coach to be able to do that, because you're on the ice or the field or the court. You're in the environment that you're supposed to try to get the most physically out of the person. You can make the argument that when you go in the locker room, now you're in a different environment. When you're out of uniform, when you're off the field, now it's human interaction. You're not talking about trying to get the athlete to perform. You're talking about going after someone on a personal basis.
But you were instructed by your coach.
No. I'm just saying now you're dealing with a different environment. You're not a coach trying to get the most out of a player. You're a person trying to take shots at someone else personally.
Yeah, I think the intention was to get the most out of a player. Because okay. I think the way no, they
so,
look
so
at
even
it,
the stuff that on Hard Knocks, you know, this is the stuff
which
that,
the NFL glorifies. By the way,
I know, but yeah. this
and,
is the
and
stuff
watch,
that
watch the difference between the next Hard Knocks.
And by the way, right. watch that show yes. suck when but, you eliminate
but,
all this stuff.
But even the stuff of that got through editing, we don't even know the stuff that. You know, right. didn't get that got cut out, but he's making fun of the guy's girlfriend. You know that she's yeah. so bad. I felt bad even putting something on your iPad. You know, that's the stuff that got through. Can you imagine what got through? What does that have to do with toughening him up?
No, but what this that is different. That's a culture. But that's what we always talk about. They're 14-year-olds with money. They're yeah. no different. Yeah. They are 14-year-olds with money. But I'm talking what Eric is talking about. They have Jonathan Martin as a whole. It's not just on the field. It's off season. It's dedication to the team. It's films. It's whatever. So when he's there, they're trying to mold a certain professional. A certain,
sure. Right. Right.
And I think Philbin leaned on his guy that he thinks is the tough leader of the offensive line or whatever to try to do that. I mean, there's aspects to that on, you know, I just think Fred is oversimplifying a very complex.
I think you're right. And I think Incognito screwed up.
But that may be. Here's another point I want to try to make about the whole locker room culture that we've started talking about. I think when you talk about a high school or even a college locker room, it's a different environment because regardless of whether you think college players get paid or high school recruits get paid, you're still amateurs. You're still technically minors. You're young. You're not an adult yet. And there's a different culture, if you will, for people that age being together in a close environment in a survival of the fittest kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When you get to the NFL, you're now an adult. You're now a professional. We have all these HR rules for, you know, proper conduct.
Respect.
Respect in the right. workplace, all these things. Why that doesn't apply or doesn't yet apply to a locker room, which is still a working environment for these people. I know they're athletes, but that's their working environment. Why those rules don't apply in there, I don't get.
Listen, I don't understand that. Get the whole testosterone. Look,
but still,
I get that.
You
know, I mean,
how
we
many
bust
times,
shops here.
Well,
can you imagine if we were in a locker room?
Yes, but the thing is, when a lot of times when we interview these players and we ask them about, you know, what's the difference between college and, you know, where you were before, and like, oh, you know, it's really a job now. It's different. Like, we don't have to worry about class. This is a job. Right. This is our work. Well, if you're treating it like work, why shouldn't it be treated like other people's work environments?
You're right, but it's different.
I know, it's a little different. Why?
I mean, Mike Vrabel like made fun of Brewski on a stroke.
If I punch you in the face, I'm fired. I'm done. If Teddy Brewski punches a guy on the practice field, you know, he might run an extra lap.
Right,
okay. It's
right.
just a different.
But no,
just,
no, I'm not talking wait, about the practice field. I'm talking about afterwards
but
in
it's
a locker
the same
room,
thing.
In a meeting room.
But you're
that's
always
a working environment.
Happen, but
yeah.
you just brought up something that's really interesting. The Vrabel-Brewski exchange. Think about if that happened in Oakland. We're 3,000 miles away. We don't know anything about the relationship between Vrabel and Brewski. How reprehensible would that quote sound if you just read mm-hmm. it on an AP right. Wire story? My God. You make fun of the guy who just came off a stroke?
Right.
It was would it be out of context?
How out of line is right. that? Yeah. Oh, my God. What's going on? That guy, he should be suspended. That's what I'm talking about. It's not as simple as you're making it out to be.
I know, but Brewski was the guy receiving it, and he was fine with it.
No, he wasn't fine with it. He confronted Vrabel.
Their relationship shattered after that. They were never friends
again.
This
is what I'm talking about.
It's as close.
Right.
But the part that Vrabel did is the same as the part that Incognito did. The part that Brewski did was different from what Martin did. This is what Andy and I are trying to explain to you. It's not as simple as you're making it out to be.
Yeah, I
like to compare myself to Vrabel.
What I'm saying is that people are taking it into other topics that it doesn't need to go. You know, with
well, I know you guys don't think that's a problem. I think it is.
And all that stuff.
I don't understand why you have to do that to win.
I agree. It is not hazing.
This is neither a rite of passage nor hazing.
To me, this all started with hazing, and it's built to this.
It may have started with hazing.
Yeah.
But this, the way it came to a head is not hazing.
It may have started with hazing.
No, it didn't come to a head because
in the hazing, it was all the rookies.
Right.
It wasn't just Jonathan Martin.
And he didn't want to do it. And that's why they pick on this kid, because he didn't want to do some of those things.
But
that's why he was identified as the guy to go after.
And as Eric said, they never looked into why this guy is a little different.
Right.
Or maybe.
But you're saying that Incognito should have known he was a little different.
I think he knew he was different, and that's why he targeted him.
So they never looked into it, but now
we
knew.
I think he knew he was different, and he was now taking the wrong route, but doing whatever he thought was the way to break him, or.
I think he got pleasure out of what he was doing. Yeah. I don't think he was doing a job.
I have no idea.
You might be right.
I don't think he was doing a job.
You could be right. I don't know that.
I do think the parallels to A Few Good Men are phenomenal. You know, the different culture, you know, your little dinner parties and you need neon.
They're maniacal about what? Being Marines.
Being Marines.
Well, right. And again, people want to bring these easy PC realities to a barbaric game played by men who are
But you know what? It's
barbaric.
It's coming to that, Andy. It's coming to that. We saw it slowly is coming to that because we've seen it with the new CBA and all of the language in there about, you know, limiting the practices and a lot of the other things.
But that's about player safety.
Yes, I know, but it's also taking the whole game is being sterilized. It has been with the
being brought into the rest of the culture, whereas before it was this had a wall in front of it and it was a different.
It's sort of being sterilized. They still are okay that you're jacking testosterone and steroids into your body because that sells.
But they won't admit it.
And they like hazing when it's selling their HBO show.
Right.
They don't like hazing when the guy files a complaint.
Right.
And his mother, who's a corporate attorney, could be suing the league
for
equal opportunity or whatever the laws that they're going to use to get.
And just like we're not seeing those NFL films. Biggest hits video compilations anymore
and because of
the,
up and
which is the right thing, obviously, because as what we know now about head injuries, we're probably going to start seeing a slow shift towards more workplace respect type rules in the locker room, and those things trying to be put down on paper and being enforced because of incidents like this.
But it's not just,
which are not isolated,
and it's not just this though. Fred and I talked about this yesterday. Many different industries and careers have hazing and rites of passage, and where's the line? You know, like, I believe we have a rule here. Don't interns have to get paid now?
Well, yeah, it's not our rule.
But I mean, it used to be the payoff to be an intern
was the experience.
No, the quality interns was,
we didn't say producers,
and the chance to get a job.
Don't have to get paid.
The best of the interns used to end up with a job.
Right.
The others, you got a little experience, move on. That's different. Now, you know, is it okay to make copies for 20 hours, or is that hazing? I mean, am I treating him differently? Because I wouldn't ask you to make. Where does it? You know, the military is trying to go down a road with differences.
Wait a minute.
It's
why are you making copies for 20 hours?
Because that's what interns do.
But that's the job.
Yeah,
and that's the same as you have to give me $15,000 so I can go to Vegas.
Well, that's a little different. I mean, that happens here all the time.
Or I can. I mean,
when they do dinners, it might not be
tape you to the goalpost or cut your hair because
taping to the goalpost is a $15,000. I have no problem.
But they're all little things of hazing that most people don't have a problem.
Jonathan Martin doesn't like groups. That's the apparent thing.
No, but what I'm saying is they're all little things of hazing that don't require. They're not job requirements. You're comparing an intern who's had the job he has to do
in getting the coffee. Is that the job he has to do?
Yes.
The guy couldn't get his own coffee?
No, but that's
Bill
part of
Belichick
the job
has decided that part of the job description is getting your hair shaved, just like Tom Brady had his shaved, just like Willie McGinnis had his shaved, just like Tim Tebow.
So what happens
had his
to the guy if he doesn't?
Who?
The guy who doesn't want to have his hair shaved.
They didn't do it. Or they shave his eyebrow.
Okay, now is he okay or is he ostracized?
I have no idea. Depends how he handles
it. But that's to me where the hazing line ends. As long as the guy is fine, listen, if you really don't want us to do it, we won't do it. And he's fine. Fine. I have no problem.
See,
you want
no
to do the other guys.
I put this in the same class in, do you want to be an NFL player? Is it criminal? Have we crossed the line into criminal?
No, I know what you're saying. And
but
I
if you want to be an NFL
that.
Player,
then
and you want to be on this team, you're no different than Tom Brady. He did this. You're no different than Drew Bledsoe. He did this. You're no different than whatever player you want to put up there.
I hate it, but I understand your difference. It's not illegal.
Jonathan Martin, you got a Stanford degree. You can take your 300-pound body and go get a real job. Or you can do what it takes to be a Miami Dolphin.
I don't think,
but see, some of those things, I think I agree with you, Paul, if I'm hearing you right.
Hate hazing, if you haven't figured that out.
Well, no, I hate hazing too, but also the need to have these quote unquote rituals, like you're not a Miami Dolphin unless you've done this. Well, baloney. I'm a Miami Dolphin because they drafted me.
Right.
Screw you. I don't need to do your stupid little tradition.
But they feel like you
do. Right, stupid little tradition. But 9 out of 10 people find that stupid little tradition funny, or they like it, or it's part of the process.
Right, but if you don't like it, you don't.
See, I
you
think there's a balance.
You
I
shouldn't
think
be
some of those traditions
to do it.
Are good. They're symbolic, but they're good.
They are symbolic. Some
I think
of them.
It's very similar to the argument, not the argument, but the discussion we had at the top of the show when we talked about coaches and their health. And we said, can it be regulated 7 to 7 or something like that? Well, no, because it's an arms race, and everybody's doing it, and that's the way we do it. Well, we've always done it this way. This is the way football teams have always operated. You have to have this, you know, lay it on the line brotherhood, and if I can't trust you to cut your hair for me, I can't trust you to block for me, so you're out. You know, and like Andy says, every guy who's ever been able to, you know, Tom Brady has done this before you. It was good enough for him. Well, at some point, why can't it change?
Well,
why can you no longer have, and still be a successful football team?
It absolutely can. And let me give you a concrete.
But it's not going.
Let me give you an example. And you all know the story about when I was at prep school.
Is this when you beat the crap out of that kid?
Well, kind of. But at the time,
that's the greatest Eric story ever.
No, the reason why, because they made us talk afterwards and all that. The reason why the kid was doing that to me was because when he was a freshman there, he was the youngest, the smallest, the weakest. He got picked on really badly and was told at the time, you know, we're going to do this to you now, but, you know, when you get older, you can do it to the next crew that comes along. So I happened to be in the next crew that came along. I was the youngest, the smallest, the weakest. He targeted me. You know, I did what I did to try to end it. And the whole culture back then was, this is what's done. This is prep school. It's hazing. That's what it is. And
happened to me.
My family and I went to the school and said, you know about this, right? And the school, yeah, it's been going on for a long time. And we said, well, it needs to change now. And it didn't change now. But I went back to that school a couple of years ago to give a speech.
Right.
And one of my classmates at the time is now a faculty member there. And after the speech, I spent a little time with him. We were, you know, walked around the campus and we were catching up, and we started talking about the whole differences between when we were students there and what it's like now. And I said to him, like, hey, you remember the whole thing with that guy? Because he was in my dorm and witnessed the whole thing. And I'm like, what's the culture like now here with the hazing? He's like, oh my God. He's like, it's completely changed from when we were students here.
Yeah.
Hazing is frowned upon now. It doesn't happen anymore. The whole culture changed. And it kind of started about that time when you and I were students here, he was telling me. And a little bit after that incident with that kid. I'm not going to mention his name, but
Bill Smith.
It happened. It took a whole generation at my alma mater for that to change.
Right.
And I was proud to hear that I had at least had been part of making that change, because my family and I went to the school and said, if you know about this, why aren't you doing anything to stop it? Because there are people like me who didn't want to deal with it.
But that was criminal.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
but
the difference.
And the stuff that Incognito was doing to Jonathan Moss was
criminal. Penetration?
Stop. No, Fred.
But my point is, what's going to get washed away is haircuts.
You always got to go a little bit too far.
And I have no I like haircuts. I like the fact that you can look back and make fun of Tom Brady's haircut
right.
or Tim Tebow's haircut.
But I
haircut.
Think we're going to we're go, we're
it's
getting
going
to a
the
point.
PC route where you can't do anything.
Well, no, you can do it if you want to. But if Paul says, you know what, I don't want to take part in that, he shouldn't be ostracized for it, and it's going to be part of the rules that he shouldn't be ostracized for it.
So what if he doesn't want to do gassers?
That's
gassers
different.
Are
that's different.
On.
That's
gassers
part of the job description.
Gassers need to be done in order for you to play.
That's the job description.
You need to be in a certain amount of shape that you can do gassers.
You don't want to carry the tackling dummies. That's what you have ball boys for.
I absolutely shouldn't have to do that. That's not part of his.
Well, you're out.
Yeah, I know that. And that's
my problem.
That's what it's been for 150
people
years.
People can't be reasonable so that we have to get rid of it all. Why can't we just have reason?
You don't have to get rid of it all.
Well, I'm saying you can be
well,
reasonable.
God forbid I ask Paul Perillo to pick up a tackling dummy on the way.
Oh, no. I don't understand why that makes you a better football player.
It doesn't. It's part of what
we do. It
doesn't.
It's just what we've always done for 150 years, so we have to keep
it. But they're not going to pick up themselves.
I think there is.
Who's
going
to carry the screen to the pitcher's mound for BP? The freshman. Oh, I'm not doing it.
Wait, wait, wait.
Go screw yourself. Why do I have to do it?
How about this novel concept, which I guess I was the worst coach ever because this is the way I did it. We had two different guys did it every day. I didn't care if they were first-year players or eight-year players.
What if a guy says no?
If he said no,
he
and
said,
everybody,
no, I'm not doing
everybody
it.
Had to do it. Everybody
how
had
does that
do
make
it.
Him a better football player or baseball player?
It doesn't, but someone
oh,
had
so
to
he
do
said
it.
No, so
it's,
if about, he doesn't want to do it,
but I'm not singling a guy out and making him do it.
It's a team thing.
It's also part of the job description. It's part of the job description.
And if someone acts,
a team goes from freshmen to seniors, not just freshmen.
And if they had said to me that they wouldn't do it, I guess I would have had to do it myself. We would have had to practice somehow.
Some of this is making sure that guys learn humbleness.
Right.
When they come in.
Right. There's more aspects than can you throw a fastball.
Right. But
more aspects than can you tackle.
There are, but you don't have to shave a guy's head and put
no, but I'm talking about like carrying pads for the veterans, things like that.
Right. Sure, but
there's nothing wrong.
You
with
earn your role with this.
I don't
team.
Like it.
You don't like it. Okay,
don't like it.
All right,
Not surprisingly, he's the guy that was allowed back on the team halfway through training camp because his coach was an idiot.
It wasn't because of any hazing thing that I did that I didn't do.
I
did every hazing ritual that I was asked to do.
Why?
Every single one. Because
Why?
I was afraid. I was afraid I'd be ostracized.
Afraid of what, though?
I was afraid I'd be ostracized. If I didn't do it and everybody else did it, I had to do it. That's what I said.
Well, you were supposed to work out. You didn't work out.
I worked out enough.
So you're more afraid of the kids than the coach.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Not surprising. The guy let you back
on
the team.
None of the coaches were ever going to assault me if I didn't do something.
So you saw people get assaulted.
So you're probably right.
So you saw people get assaulted.
Get hit? Yeah.
For not doing whatever?
No, everybody did it. But that was
so
the threat.
So how do you know that there was actually going to be an assault?
Andy, first of all, you're trying to apply grown man logic to when you're 14.
Right.
Which is flawed.
But
because
you look
at
him
and you're afraid of a guy and you're not realizing, well, what was I afraid of? He probably wasn't going to do anything.
But not necessarily, because we're talking about grown men in that situation and how you handle it, right?
I'm talking about
they're both grown men.
Upperclassmen.
No.
I was afraid of what the players would think.
And Jonathan Martin, you know, the upperclassmen's Richie Incognito. They're both grown-ass men I think Antron Roll is the one who said, he's a grown-ass man. Stand up for yourself. Yeah.
All right. Not surprisingly, we have some emails and calls coming in about this, but we do need to take a break. We've been going for well over an hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The most interesting Patriots fan is on the line. He wants to talk about this. We have emails. We'll get to him right after this.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you hung?
Hungry. Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500. And like most of the people covering the NFL, we're talking a little Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, and all the bigger issues that that brings up. On the phone right now is the most interesting Patriots fan in the world. He's got his take. What's up, James?
How's it going, guys?
Great. What's up?
Yeah, so it's interesting you draw parallels to the military, because when I first joined the Army, it was in sort of the late 90s, and the attitudes back then are very different from what they were now. Sort of, you know, hazing was there, bullying was there. You go on a run, and you weren't meant to drink water, and all that sort of stupid stuff. They actually did a lot of studies and worked out that sort of hazing and things like that actually does nothing for teamwork, nothing for camaraderie. What you need to do is, if you want to breed camaraderie, it has to be a position of authority that's doing, that's dishing out the punishment. And that sort of draws the team together in unity against it. And the sort of internal hazing, when it's sort of carried out within the unit, so to speak, is actually very sort of detrimental and counterproductive. And it showed that a lot of individuals actually harbor resentment for a long time against people they were hazed, even though they sort of smile on the top of it and things like that. And it can be counterproductive to teamwork.
Well, and I agree, and it's a lot of responsibility to put in hands of people who don't necessarily know how to handle it. You know,
yeah.
A guy in authority, like you're saying, got that way because he earned it. You know,
yeah, but the other interesting thing is that you do use it as a tool when you're training recruits and things like that. And obviously, what you're trying to do is get the recruits to unite together by putting them through different things, not the individual recruits and things like that, sort of running what's going on. And, you know, hazing, I rarely find if anyone's been in a position where they thought that the hazing has actually sort of said that, you know, stood them in good stead. I don't know. I mean, Andy, you were hazed, you said, on the football team and things like that. Was there ever a position of adversity where you thought, thank God I was hazed, it's actually helped me get through this?
No, but again, I think we use hazing as a very general term, and I don't know where, like, you mentioned water. Well, in the military, isn't the idea of running a long distance without water the fact that in the battlefield you could have to run a long distance without water?
No, that was sort of the old thinking. And actually, I once went on a run where we killed a guy. We didn't drink any water. The guy got heat stroke. He got into a coma for 3 weeks and he died. Two other guys had to leave the military. And you sort of get to the stage where it's very, very counterproductive. The other interesting thing that happened is that a few good men analogy, which was true, post 9/11, the operational tempo changed. So instead of, you know, doing Bosnia and Kosovo and things like that, when you deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan and 10% of the guys are coming back in coffins, hazing sort of loses its, the whole mentality became a lot more serious, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more your sort of, when new recruits come in, it was less about sort of hazing because generally you were bored and there wasn't much else to do. And it was more, well, we've got to make sure none of us are going to die because this guy doesn't know what he's doing and things like that. So certainly the operational tempo as well really changed the attitude in the military and the way you sort of dealt with new people coming in.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you ever saw this, and I don't know if you were still in, I had a friend who was in the Marines and he complained about, we're actually going the other direction. That now,
yes,
like he said something about, yeah, like a guy could like raise his hand and say he was under stress and that like eliminated him from whatever they were doing. Like you couldn't even push people anymore, really.
It is the big sort of it is getting a little bit like that. And when I was in the military, actually, someone came along and wanted to do a study of deploying disabled people in the front line. And we had to do, which sort of, I understand what they're trying to do, but it does sort of pervade on operations and things like that. And it is a very, very fine line between the sort of bravado that's going on and bullying. And the other difficult thing is that you need to put people under a certain amount of stress to see if they are going to be able to cope in difficult environments.
Right.
Now, football is a lot different. That's the thing. It's not as if, you know, you can't, you're going to crack under stress. That means you're going to blow coverage or you're not going to block the offensive linemen and things like that. So I think it's quite unfair to sort of draw parallels between the military and the NFL because it is a totally different, you know, kettle of fish. You know, there's a lot more at stake and things like that. And you know, when you test people's mental resolve and things like that, it is for a purpose. Within football, I don't necessarily think it is necessary for a purpose. And that's the thing is that you know, some of the nicest guys, like Vince Wilfork, don't seem to need to be, you know, some of the, I don't think the most bravado masculine football players make the best football players. There's probably a lot of quiet, sensitive guys who are pretty good at football.
Right, but, and I understand what you're saying about the comparison or unfair comparison between, but they look at it as life and death. They look at it as war or whatever you want to call it. I mean, we know Bill Belichick treats every week like a battle, like, you know, and so I do think there is some sort of comparison between the two. The way they feel is like they are in a battle, and they need to count on that guy. And if they lose, that's horrific.
I understand that, but you cannot allow people to sort of mete out discipline because they did find that it is counterproductive to teamwork because a lot of people hold resentment.
I agree with that, and I can see how that.
I was like Eric. I was bullied at school. And I look forward to the day that I run into the guy on the street. You know, to this day, it affects me. And
yeah, no, I can understand.
In the military, it does affect you. That's the hazing and stuff like that. So much so that, you know, they've showed that, you know, this guy's going in to do fire support, and everyone's like, well, I don't know if we're going to, you know, do as well,
James,
as we could do and things like that.
James, let me ask you something. Did your decision to go into the military have anything at all to do with your harborings of resentment for the guy who bullied you?
I don't think so. For me, it was a long tradition of family and things like that, and I probably made the decision long before I made any other decision. Mm-hmm. But it was certainly sort of going from one institution to another actually does sort of replicate that. And it was interesting. You know, bullying at my school was because it happened to you, and you do it to the year below.
Yeah, I hate that mentality. I hate that mentality.
Funnily enough, in my school, the big thing that made a difference is they finally allowed women in, and that just sort of got rid of bullying altogether. Mm. So,
we changed our focus.
Best behavior, right. Yeah.
No one bullies now. They're busy doing other things. Well,
yeah.
But it is a very, very fun. I personally hate hazing. I've never found it very good. I used to see recruits having to go through it within the airborne and things like that. Mm. And it's certainly within the military has changed now, and it's sort of unacceptable, and it hasn't actually made you any less effective and things like that. It's just a very, very difficult, touchy situation. I personally don't see any benefits from it.
But what do you consider, like...
See, I don't think carrying someone's pads is hazing.
What about a Major League Baseball
dress?
To me,
that's like a rite of passage.
What if you wear a dress through the airport on a road trip? Is that hazing?
No, I understand. What I'm not saying...
What's the difference?
I'm not saying there's a question that's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying there's a question that's anything wrong with it. We looked at it from the other way. We said, what are the benefits we're getting?
Right.
And to be honest, we never found any benefit.
Yeah. Right, and I'll give you another example.
If you're not gonna,
no benefit from a guy walking through an airport address.
I figured you had some deep-seated, like 1952 kind of parable that you were going to tell,
Freddie. The point Paul was making before about rotating every day two guys who would have to do the cleanup or whatever it was that you were talking about.
Someone had to carry the bat. Someone had to carry the helmets and catcher's equipment. Someone had to carry
the
balls.
You take turns doing that.
And I did it too. As the coach, we just had to make sure all the equipment got out there.
And that I don't consider hazing because that's part of
it's
maybe to show the humility. No, because
the way you would do it, it would be
because
you would force rookies to do it.
No.
For me, it's that the players knew that that stuff had to be sent out there, and we took it out.
So at prep school, everyone had to go to what was called seated meal. You get dressed up, you go to dinner 4 nights a week.
Boy, am I glad I didn't go to prep school.
But every week there was a handful of students who had to help serve
seated
everybody
meal.
Else.
As opposed to cocktails where you walk around.
Right.
At high tables.
A handful of students had
James
to help the actual, kitchen staff.
Right.
And everybody from freshmen to seniors, it was rotated. Like you could be working alongside a senior if you were a freshman doing the kitchen duty thing. But it rotated. Every week it was a different handful of students who had to do it. So it was part of the whole, the teaching humility thing. It wasn't hazing because it was part of everybody in the school had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't humiliating anybody.
Right.
It was part of what you signed up for going in. You knew it was part of the rules going in.
I don't think carrying someone's pads is humiliating someone.
No, but
so I don't consider it hazing.
But if not everybody has to do it.
Wait, but you're saying everybody in a short term span. If everybody has to do it over a 4 year span, isn't everybody doing it?
Yeah, listen.
If you do it as a freshman, and don't do it as a junior sophomore, you've done it already.
All the rookies have.
They
to
won't
do
have to
it.
Do
I agree
it
with you
the next year.
Different,
you know what I mean?
Things.
So it's the same on that level.
I wanted to avoid the differences. I agree with what you guys are saying, and Andy, you and I have always agreed there's things that are against the law.
Teabagging.
As opposed to,
as Fred says, broomstick penetration.
Right.
What is that?
The broomstick.
Right. Okay, you can argue to me there's no real benefit from a dress in an airport, but at least it's kind of funny and everybody's laughing.
But I'd also argue there's no real benefit for carrying the equipment as a freshman.
But there is more of a benefit of that than sticking a broomstick up a guy's ass.
No, I agree. And I've always agreed with you.
Can we all agree on
there's
that?
There's enormous.
Yeah. There's no Richie Incognito.
There's
in the
enormous
room,
different degrees of wrong. I just didn't like to make any kind of differentiation, and I didn't feel like I didn't like doing the stuff when I was a rookie on the teams that I was on. So when I was a coach, I didn't make them do it that way.
Mm-hmm. The thing we found was this: when it comes to actually enforcing it, it's very difficult to have gray lines. You've either got it's impossible to say whether you're allowed to do this degrees of hazing or
that's how I felt, James.
Hazing. So the only thing we could do was outlaw it totally, and then go from there. It's very, then you're admitting a level of culpability and reliability, because if you tacitly allow someone to do that, if you tacitly allow Incognito to do that, then you're liable as an organization.
And that's why the NFL is going to go the military route, and this is all going to be gone.
And that's how we started, and I agree with Fred on that, is it's going to be a gross overreaction.
Yeah.
No, but the gross, this is the thing. With the gross overreaction, it doesn't mean it has to stop, because there is still hazing that goes on with the military, but it's to a degree and a level within groups that is acceptable.
Yeah, but who stops it?
Right, James.
Who stops it?
All it's going to take, James, is one person to not want to do something that 99% of the population deem harmless.
Or 11 of 12 offensive linemen in Miami thought was fine. You know what I mean? Like,
you've got to be a little bit more. You've got to be a little bit more. I don't think it's difficult to ask NFL players to be slightly, you know, humanistic. I mean, we go off and do horrible things abroad, and we're still. It doesn't mean we can run around like lunatics and beat up women when we're on leave and when we're in back home. I mean, I do understand that. Just because they do difficult things and their children, they got money and things like that, doesn't give them any excuse. You know, but, you've got every right to.
That's a good point.
But we also saw people that struggle with that, right? I mean, isn't there some degree of people that come back from Iraq and they struggle to be
absolutely
reacquainted with everyday normal culture where I can't do and see and the stuff that I was doing?
Right.
No, that's absolutely, you know, and it's the whole level of discipline and the reintegration and things like that is more difficult. Yeah, I think like a quarter of homeless people in London are veterans. And
right. Yeah.
It's
a problem
like that.
Here too. But it's like anything else. We're talking about the extremes, the fringes. I think Jonathan Martin was on one end extreme. Richie Incognito was on the other end extreme. Mm. And most of the other rites of passage
right
or hazing takes place in the middle. Most guys like it or are okay with it. Mm. Most guys do it or are okay doing it within reason. We're talking about two extremes came together.
But the laws are there to protect the vulnerable.
Right.
We don't go.
And that's what Sergeant whatever said. We're supposed to protect those that are weaker than us, and we didn't. Right, I ordered the code red.
What I'm saying is this. We don't go out and murder people, not murder people because it's against the law. We just don't do it because we're good people. We don't think, in fact, it's against the law, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Laws are enacted across to actually protect the smallest amount of people, the victims and the ones who are doing it. So
right.
The law has to be there to protect. The law is there to protect the guys who it affects, not the broad brush of people who are doing it anyway and who can rein it in. And there, I absolutely am sure that it is way worse than we think, and everyone's just shutting up about it because they're getting on with it and things like that. And to be honest, like I said, I look back on I've never been in a firefight in Iraq and thought, thank God that guy urinated on me. I'm a much better soldier and the man I am today. It's just not the case.
Mm.
No. All right, James. Thanks for
interesting stuff.
All
interesting
right.
stuff. James.
Thank you, James.
Boy, am I glad that guy peed on me.
And I do agree with Andy. I think you said it right off the top. I mean, it is still football, and it's not real life. The military is real life.
Right.
Right.
And, the consequences of not doing your job is someone dies.
Correct.
That so
it's
it
not
is,
a 45 yard touchdown.
It is different.
And that's why I know James sort of poo pooed. And yes, a guy died, and I'm sorry, a guy died on a run without water. But you know. And maybe it's too simplistic and I look at old school, but if a guy has to run over that mountain and do something and he dies, we should have sent a different guy because all the rest of us are going to die because he didn't make it.
Or now with the technology, we can have, bio technology so we know when a guy's at risk and we can stop it and.
But at some level, you need to know that the guy defusing the bomb doesn't shake when he's defusing the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
You need to have tested that. You need to know that the guy, when put under stress, as James said, that they're not going to crack.
Rory in Manchester, England says, I caught a little of Fred and Andy's discussion about bullying, hazing yesterday, and I just thought I'd weigh in a little on the group mentality aspect. You were talking about the extreme cases of groups being involved in molestation and stuff. I think there's a combination of factors involved in how they get so bad. You've got the bystander effect, a measurable fact that the more people there are in an area, the less likely you are to receive help. Picture the people who would walk past or ignore a person who collapsed in a crowded stadium who would definitely do something if they collapsed in an elevator with them. Then you have the group mentality, particularly in such a hyper-masculine environment as a football locker room. I can imagine the teaching theory of the 80-20 rule that 20% of your children cause the naughty class's bad behavior, while 80% may join in. It applies here, as does the inevitable factor of peer pressure. Bottom line is that people can be the worst thing about the world at times, particularly when acting in groups. I guess it's Lord of the Flies time in some NFL locker rooms.
It's another interesting
The peer pressure is always been a part of it, you know?
Well, I also think, kind of answering my own question, why people are defending Richie Incognito, it's a self-defense. They allowed it to go on, or they partook in whatever was going on.
Or they were doing exactly what he was doing.
So if they chastise him, they're chastising themselves.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think there's a factor of that.
Absolutely.
I would fall into that class, but I was never interested in hazing, and I never hazed anyone in my life. I saw hazing go on, but I never had any interest. I don't know if it was laziness. I just had zero interest in taking the tradition and continuing it. I didn't really have a problem if other people wanted to continue it. So I was, I guess, the guy in the middle who just kind of kept his mouth shut and is equally at fault. Yeah. But
All it takes is for bad men to get away with
that's
it.
That's a really
for good,
good
men
point,
to do nothing.
You probably hit the nail on the head about why Incognito has gotten so much support out of that Dolphins locker room.
Right, because they've all done it.
If I say that I'm
guilty,
if I say I'm appalled, then
I'm a hypocrite.
I know the next question coming.
Right.
Why didn't you do something to stop it?
Maybe they made fun of Jonathan Martin.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're a hypocrite because
they'd be criticizing themselves, and they don't want to. I mean, I guess they'd rather lie than
John in South Carolina. Look, having had a person in my life commit suicide who had emotional problems, you got to back off. Not that I caused him to do that, but other people did.
Right.
You know?
But my point is, on that angle, is the large aspect of this. I think these guys have dealt with Jonathan Martin profiles before and dealt with it a certain way, and some of it works. Some
and
of
they
it
got lucky.
So, I know, but when you get lucky, what do? You do it again.
I know. John in South Carolina. Andy was saying Philbin leaned on Incognito to toughen up Martin because he was a leader on the offense. Richie Incognito has been an issue everywhere he's been. And the fact that Philbin saw him as a leader and someone he should trust to develop a young player points to how bad the leadership is in Miami. The leadership both among the players in the offices are the problem. It is fine to have traditions, rites of passage, or whatever you want to call them. However, the leadership should always know what is going on and be able to push the rest into doing the right thing. The leadership of the team should want to change the hazing or tradition when it does not benefit the team. That's what James was saying. I know you say these are millionaire 14-year-olds, but we should expect them to be men, not children. And just because they get to a team as a child does not mean they should be allowed to stay one. Every team has responsible adults that should be leaders, and I am willing to bet no other team in this league would put Incognito in that class.
I think you're being naive.
I think that's wrong. Because I think Incognito is the kind of guy that would be the top of most coaches' lists to do something like this. Go toughen that guy up. This is a rough around the edges, unpolished, steroid freak, for lack of a better term. That's the guy you want doing it. Now, is he a leader? Should he be on your leadership council? No. That's a gross misjudgment by Philbin to have him be part of some... I don't even understand the whole leadership council thing. What do you have captains for?
I know, right?
You know,
you have to have a council.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
This was also
a guy. Talk about just another in a long line of football things that are grossly overrated, the importance.
Another thing about Richie Incognito, I don't know if you guys remembered, but for the last month or so, he's been a regular guest on NFL Network on
the
team cam. Every time we're doing the show and I look over, or maybe it's during Rook's show, I look over and he's doing the Dolphins team cam shot and, you know, all smiley and joking. And he had that other side of his personality.
Well, he had that PSA. Did you see that?
No.
Where it's a play on the old Charles Barkley, and he's croqueting.
He's
and
playing
like,
croquet. And he's telling fans to behave. Anything else would be uncivilized. He's doing the PSA.
Well, and it was funny because he was – like Barkley back in the day was not civilized on the court, and you know, was
do you think
persona,
like,
at least he was honest?
Do you think Tom
the easiest
Brady
guy to scare was Jonathan Martin?
Do you think Tom Brady is a good leader?
I do, yeah.
Right. So, do you think Bill Belichick would tab Tom Brady to go and toughen someone up?
No.
You tab someone that you think is crazy, like Richie Incognito.
But there might be
now it could be a Logan Mankins guy,
or a Willie McGinnis,
who's crazy and tough, but also I would consider leader. But in this case, to me, Incognito is that kind of guy. He's my guy for something like
again,
this.
Again, I think there's toughening up. Do you think Logan Mankins, when asked to do that, toughen up a guy would threaten to slap his girlfriend or his wife or mother or call him an N-word?
I don't know what
they
would do.
Fred, I would say no because Logan has even told us numerous times, I'm a different guy on the field than I am off. That psycho that you see shoving and getting into fights, he's not like that off the field.
Right.
He has said that a million times.
So
he
maybe
doesn't know where it comes
maybe
from,
he wouldn't be a good candidate to do this. Maybe a guy like Gray Rugemer back in the day
I was actually just
would
thinking
have been
about
a guy
him.
To do it.
I think Gray Rugemer would.
Right?
Josh in Arlington says, Andy calls NFL players 14-year-olds with money when it suits his argument.
By the way.
That quote's getting a lot of play in the show today.
Just want to say real quick, yeah. I heard Roosevelt Colvin last week on Tutcher and Rich use that exact phraseology.
No. When Paul backs him into a corner, he then claims that these are grown-ass men to support his misapplication of adult logic to a childish environment.
That was Antrell Roll's comment.
Paul, you are correct, sir. There is no need for it. Eric, that story was terribly boring. I think you needed to share more detail on what actually happened in the hazing event.
Did you hear a girl out of it? We've told that story before. Go back and listen to the archives.
Did you get a girl out of it?
Did I what?
Get a girl out of it? Because in the movie, you'd get a girl.
God, no.
Well, you'd get his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And only would like step had, over him.
Only
to
ever
hug
had
you.
Two girls, and none of them, neither of them were out of that incident.
When you tell that next time to like a group of kids. Have a girl.
No, because I don't lie, Andy.
Yeah, but it'd be more if a kid sees a girl.
Doesn't matter. Well, if they make a Hollywood movie of it, then they can dramatize it. But I'm not gonna lie.
If they make a Hollywood movie,
I don't lie about.
No,
my
he doesn't
stories.
Want you to write it. He wants it to be completed.
laughing up, right funny boy.
Told you, I'm Vrabel, not incognito.
Canadian Mike in Florida. We need to get Tom Cruise to figure out if Philbin gave incognito a code red. We need to know if he will stand on the wall with them and have their back. In all seriousness, do you think Incognito will play again?
No.
Really? At all?
Probably
never.
Not. I think he's done.
I think he's going to be blackballed.
Yeah, I do too.
Unfairly on some level.
Well, I don't think he's good enough to touch the third rail.
Right.
If he was Logan Mankins, then maybe he would play again. Right. But I don't think he's good enough to put up with the garbage.
I think that Incognito is a bad guy who's going to be made out to be worse than he is.
Yeah, I agree with
you. I think
this is
a little
bad guy.
I didn't defend Michael Vick, but one of the defenses of Michael Vick was that was the culture he came from. Down there, that's what they do. They have dog fighting, and they don't see these as pets and physical creatures. They see them as whatever, and that's what they do. I think there's some degree of that aspect for Richie Incognito.
You saw the message board thing that his father wrote, right?
No, but I'm not even saying...
Think about what he came from.
That's a secondary aspect. I'm talking about just the culture of the locker room and what goes on. I think on some level, he is bred from that through college, through high school, through his father, that whole thing. Steroids, tough guys, there's
you
a whole...
You see that, Fred? His father wished Philbin in Ireland die of AIDS.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
is the
mentality. No, it wasn't his father. It was IDSD 1974. Right.
They tracked it down.
No, I know.
What happened?
This
is the mentality.
His father's a whack job.
On some message board, he had this long rant post about how he hopes someday he's going to end up on the Jets and he's going to end up beating the crap out of the Dolphins, and he hopes Jeff Ireland and Joe Philbin die of AIDS. And it turned out it was from Incognito's father.
Which is random, by the way. Like, where does that come from?
I don't know.
Because it's just so juvenile.
It's so 80s.
Juvenile.
Right.
Well, that's what I kind of mean. It's
and, right. And cowardly.
It's dated.
Dumb.
And cowardly.
But not even that. It's dated.
Dumb. It's because it's like, there's a lack of intelligence there.
I don't know. It just felt weird to me.
Al from Austin says, I'm really enjoying this debate. As a compassionate person, you hate to hear what has happened with a person who has emotional issues. And I do believe, from what we have heard, that Incognito went past the limit. I also believe that the new rules to protect players and changing the game is changing the game in the wrong direction. I hope they do not add more rules. You cannot protect people that have willingly engaged in a profession that is violent. Every job has adverse issues because of said job. I have been installing hardwood floors for 30 years. I have a fractured vertebrae in my lower back and knee issues. I know and accept that this comes with my job, and trust me, I make a lot less money than football players. It's time for the NFL to be straight with the fact that if they keep trying to water down the game, it will eventually destroy what we all like about it. I also believe that the Miami issue should have been handled internally. You can bet if this was in New England, the veterans on this team would have stopped it. If they didn't, you could bet the bank that Bill would have.
Well,
I can't just assume
that. I can't assume that either.
And I also think
that's
easy.
How do you stop it when the guy doing it is on the leadership council?
And under direction of the leader.
And possibly being told to do it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's easy to say, but
yeah,
it's not a good comparison. Bill Belichick has been the coach of the Patriots for how many years? 14? And Tom Brady has been your quarterback for how many years?
13.
As opposed to Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill,
which
are your figurehead leaders.
And everything else. I mean,
now, forget everybody else. But
Marquise Pouncey is a 3?
It's a young football team that doesn't have that core set up yet.
Right.
You know, even if Bryant McKinney had been there earlier, maybe he would have brought a different dynamic.
Right.
And because he's been on multiple teams.
And another way that the culture changes is for, like, when, like, the kid at my prep school, he decided to take the stand of, okay, well, it happened to me, I'm going to make it happen to the next guy. My stance was, okay, it happened to me, I'm going to make sure damn well it doesn't happen to the next guy.
Right.
And when I got to be a sophomore, a junior, a senior, I didn't do that. And a lot of my friends, we decided, you know, yeah, we're not going to do that. We'll take them under our wing instead and nurture them instead of beating them senseless with, you know, emotionally. And it changed. That's how the culture changes. If you get one or two or three leaders that want to change the culture, they suddenly, that multiplies and that has a trickle down effect. And then the people below them don't have the idea of, oh, I need to beat up on the kid in the next grade because that's what happened to me.
Where
because
did
it didn't happen.
Cider
to
Hill
them.
Rules? Is that, where did you go to school?
Cider House. Isn't
Cider
it?
House.
Cider House, yeah. Oh. But, you know, he likes to butcher the names.
Rents is,
he doesn't like to. He just, it happens.
So Richie Incognito, Richie Incognito is an example of the guy taking the wrong tack and saying, well, because it happened to me, I'm going to make sure it happens to someone else.
Richie Incognito is a lunatic.
But he was also
he's
bullied.
He's a lunatic.
He supposedly was also
Philbin
bullied.
Off the hook from unleashing the lunatic.
Well, and Rents disagrees with you. He says, Fred, if you think Incognito is doing this alone, I think you'll be proven wrong. Martin didn't leave because he's weak-minded. He left because he knew the organization supported what Incognito was doing.
I'm sure
possibly.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah, that's certainly valid.
Well, maybe.
Do you think, Richie, do you think Jonathan Martin likes football?
Not.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think
he's passionate about it. No, I don't.
That would be.
And
my
you know
vibe.
What? Maybe part of it is because of how he's been treated.
Could be.
Maybe he doesn't like going to work because he knows going to work means I'm going to get verbally abused and yeah. maybe even physically abused for
sure.
10 hours.
It's the ultimate
a day.
Chicken or the egg. You know, does he not like football? So you got to try to make him like football, or does he not like football because they're trying to make him like football?
Well,
so
that's
much.
Why I want to hear more about what he was at Stanford. How did that unfold? What was kind of a player
but the thing is
there
that,
and all that?
But don't you think there's a reasonable chance that he was at Stanford with a lot of other players that were like him that sort of used football as a means to an end?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or that he was good, and therefore when you're good,
football
you're not.
Wasn't
but there's probably
one.
A lot of guys on scholarship at Stanford that just happened to be really good high school football players and said, hey, you know what? I can go to Stanford.
But don't disregard the good factor. If Jonathan Martin had come in and been a shutdown left tackle who went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie, that's a factor here, too.
That's the point that
he
I made earlier.
He might not have been. Right.
The and bullying it happens to someone who's perceived weakness.
I also think
he'd be an odd eccentric type if he was a Pro Bowler.
Right. I also think Logan Mankins is a great example in this case because here's a guy who, as we talked about before, on the field, he's sort of a lunatic. Off the field, he's a mild-mannered, nice guy. And if you ask him, Fred, I don't think he would say, I love football.
Right.
But he loves the football when he's on the field playing. That's a different thing altogether. I think if he had to leave football today, he would be completely fine with it and have lived a fulfilling life and would have no regrets.
Did you hear what he said yesterday?
But I also think that when he's on the field and they're in the game, he wants nothing more than to beat the crap out of the guy on the other side of him and win the game. But as soon as the game is over, all right, that's it. You know, I'm done. I mean, I think you can be both. You can be a nice person.
Some people can.
Some people can. That's
Some
what I'm saying.
Can't.
Some people can't, but I think he's a great example of people
Correct.
Who are good, who can do both.
Well, how about Rodney Harrison? He was
sure.
a whack job on the field who tried to, in my opinion,
yeah.
tried to hurt people and do bad things on a football field, and off the field was a nice man. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
well, what's
Bible
his name? I used to like him because he played in the Broncos, but the linebacker, the crazy guy, steroid guy.
Oh, Romanowski?
Romanowski, off the field. He was the nicest guy.
No, he's not. He's a criminalistic a-hole. That's a terrible example.
No, he,
that is a horrific. He is Richie
Incognito. No.
That is a terrible example.
No, he's bad in practice, but I'm telling you, when he was like in his normal life, he was just a normal guy. He wasn't.
In his normal life, he broke more laws and did more drugs.
Do
than
a little research on him. He is a bad, bad guy.
He did steroids and everything, but.
No, bad guy.
He turned it off when he was off the
bad
field.
Bad guy.
I like my Logan example better.
Yeah, Logan's a better example.
He's a
I think you missed that one.
I
think that's as close to Incognito as you can get.
But, you know, we talked yesterday about Bruschi saying that there was a time in this locker room here at the Patriots where, you know, the $30,000 rookie meal got to Bill and Bill put an end to it. I would really be interested to know how that got to him. Was that rookies going to him? Was that one of the leaders of the team saying, all right, enough is enough? How did that get to Bill? I wonder.
That's a good question. I'd like to know that too.
Did someone have the guts to say something that this is getting out of hand?
I'm sure someone complained about it, and instead of it becoming a bad thing.
Was that the rookie or a leader that said, you know what, this is getting out of hand?
My guess would be a rookie.
Are we sure that was squashed and doesn't exist anymore?
Well, and I don't know, but Bruschi said that's – I'm only going by what Bruschi said.
that this is enough. Maybe now they still do it, but there's like a limit.
Also, it doesn't seem like that much money.
30 grand?
Like 10 guys, 3 grand. Jonathan Martin would pay 15.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Going to Vegas and going to dinner are two different things,
right?
Though.
Yeah, it costs a lot more money.
But Paul makes it, every locker room is a little different. And in this particular locker room, you have those guys. And you've had those guys.
I mean, 5 years from now, we might be struggling for that.
Yeah.
You know, when guys like Mankins and Wilfork and Brady. And
I think they
even
were.
A little bit more, Mayo, when those guys are all gone, who knows?
Right.
Maybe the next generation isn't as strong,
right.
With all that stuff. But I just think you have to look at it. Individually, I think these kinds of things have a lot of layers to them.
That's what I think.
People don't really look at the whole picture.
And I'm also hesitant to say that doesn't happen in New England, and Mankins would never let it. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't say that.
For all I know, he took Ryan Wendell and beat the snot out of him. I have no idea.
Do they do credit card roulette? I bet they do. I bet they have.
And also people say, well, they're the offensive linemen. They always used to go to the barbecue joint together. That doesn't mean anything. For all I know, that was part of the hazing. He's paying for that. It's kind of like...
Right, I'm sure they did it in Miami, too, only they made Martin pay all the time.
I can beat the piss out of my little brother. No one knows it, and if anybody else tries to beat him up, I beat them up. But when we're at home, I can beat the piss out of him. Like, you never know what's going on these interpersonal and
we had a very deep show today, John Rook.
It was. Very deep PFW.
Why are you adjusting your fly?
As you're zipping yourself up on the air. Thanks,
I just realized I walked in here and the damn thing was open. The hell was that?
The bat cave.
Speaking of hazing.
He was hazing somebody.
The fly is open.
He's teabagging a young broadcaster
Hey.
Straight from the pages of the news. That's a common, unfortunately, hazing ritual. You don't remember that?
What?
Teabagging? Like that whole high school
team? Oh, yeah.
Which I've never understood. Put your balls in my mouth, you're going to lose them.
Would that be gay?
Would that be gay? No, that would make you gay.
No, but would you even, beyond the stupidity of it, wouldn't you be afraid to put your balls in another man's mouth?
I don't even know that we need to go
afraid
there.
Afraid and just disgusted.
Well, disgusted on one level, but you can lose them. If the Eric Scalavino says that's enough is enough, you're losing. Why would you ever think that's a productive, good, anything idea?
Pulling an Ozzy Osbourne with the head of the bat there?
Yes!
Oh, that's also true.
Seriously, Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah.
You want to teach me to bear down? I'll bear down.
Ugh. What's that?
Stop.
Oh, the show just took an ugly turn.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
John, what do you got?
I'm having another cookie.
John Rooks here. John, do you have any
opinion? You want to make $5 the hard way?
Get me one too, please.
Thoughts on the whole Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, Miami thing?
Yeah, we spent a little bit of time yesterday talking about it on the show here, and in all honesty, I think we can all understand that there's a certain amount of, I don't even know how to describe this really, because it goes beyond, this kind of went beyond hazing, it goes beyond team building, it goes beyond camaraderie. Clearly, Richie Incognito is a guy that just doesn't know how to turn it off. And there needs to be some sort of, and basically I laid the blame, at the feet of the coaching staff, because you have to have, as a CEO of any company or any team or any whatever as a coach is, you gotta have some clue as to what's going on down below you if you're gonna have a successful company. And, because Philbin has an offensive line background, my guess is that because they sort of tend to dismiss a lot of this stuff as boys will be boys, let's let them alone, let's let them work their own thing out. That's why he sort of decided to turn the other way without realizing that Martin's a little bit different individual, and obviously Richie Incognito is also a little bit different individual, and when you put those two things together, they're gonna clash. So.
I agree with that.
He didn't exercise enough oversight in this particular instance, and the coaches, and I also blame the coaches, and I blame the other players in that team for not stepping in and say, hey, yo, that's not cool. Come on, let's knock it off.
But I think, it's tough in that environment. It takes a real courageous person to do that. And, when it comes to that peer type of stuff, you don't get a lot of people stepping up like that.
Right.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like in prep school, the school knew about it. There were a lot of other kids in my class and older kids who, like Andy said, they didn't really care for the hazing, but they didn't say anything about it because they were afraid to speak up. I didn't give a damn. I said, I want to change things. I'm going to speak up.
I wasn't afraid to speak up.
But I mean, you didn't feel the need to do it. And there are a lot of people
But not saying anything is just as bad.
I agree. I saw the Patrick Chung infomercial. Yep.
But there are people who probably want the change to happen, but they don't have
Right.
What it takes to actually, you know, affect that change.
Right.
I happen to be the youngest, the smallest, the weakest kid in my class. I was 2 years younger than everybody because of, you know, starting school early and all that. And I said, I just had it in me, maybe because of what happened to me. And I said, I'm going to make the change.
Right.
There are probably a lot of players in the locker room who don't like it and want to make a change,
right,
but are feeling like, well, I'm going to be ostracized and looked, you know, badly upon because if I do that. And
it
takes a lot of courage to make that kind of institutional change with something like that.
There's no doubt.
And I will say one more thing. Richie Incognito has the most ironic name in the NFL.
Right.
That is true. Yeah, he's not exactly incognito, is he?
I wish he was.
Yeah. Right now he does.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he was tracked down by a Channel 7 news reporter in Miami to try to ask him what he thought. And he says, I'm trying to lay low, man, and let this pass over.
Trying to weather the storm.
Weather the storm. And frankly, I don't think this is a storm he's going to be able to weather.
Nope. Yeah. He's done.
He's trying to be incognito during this time.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. John Rook's up with the playbook and then replay, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of PFW in progress.
Woo!
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.